gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yeah, we're 10 deep, all on horseback.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Riders on the storm.
To another episode of the High Council here on Wednesday, 3 hours from tonight, every Wednesday. I am your host, the MC, the Mechanic, for tonight's show. As you know, we're joined by the Hijacker, a little preemptive strike there by the Jacker. We have a fully loaded panel this evening, so don't you fret on that. Let me get a few things out here before we get into this broadcast this evening. Many things are upon us on this timeline, right, that we're on, because so many things have been neutered from our real history, removed as if we never knew they existed. And that's at the earliest age, the better, right? Same with circumcision, these types of things. So they, at the very beginning, want to distort real history, the reality of the world, the true meaning of life, the spiritual connection between all of us, the frequencies that we share. Instead of utilizing the frequencies that men and women and children, all humans, share, because we are electric by all standards. We are electric. We have a pulse within us. And there's a frequency that derives from this pulse. And it goes from every person on the planet. And if there's a way that we could connect on a spiritual level, all violence would cease. Destruction, terror would all come to an end. But because we can't get we can't get past our own free will. And that's the battle we're in right now. You see, we have free will. There is an aspect of Satan here inside humanity. Satan himself resides in aspects of humanity. It could be a politician. It could be an artist. It could be an advisor. It could be a Abramovich, right, type individual, a Hollywood director. There are many people, many individuals, labels, structured players of these roles that exist. Okay. They all tear, they all play a role at tearing apart and dividing this country, dividing the world through religion. And that was early on, through religion. They succeeded in dividing the implementation of religion itself, in my humble opinion, is the most devastating thing they did to mislead human beings. I think that that was probably the first step that, you know, free will given to man, and man strayed. Man strayed away.
The mechanics, fluoride, the what they put in the food, the water.
Right, the air. All of it, yeah. Right. Our whole existence has been contaminated. History removed. Nutrition removed. Understanding of the English language, mostly removed, depending on the community you're in. The true language. You know, you start to look at all the things that we're robbed of in this timeline. It goes back to this timeline. There's something about this timeline that they don't want us awakening to. But I do believe it's too late. I believe that enough people, and more every second of the day, enough people are now awake to some of what's happening in bits and pieces, right? You have certain populations that are awake to this, other populations that are awake to that. And then a combination of the two, if they start communicating with each other, if people can forget about religions and remain spiritual, they might be able to pull something of a miraculous, you know, drive to where we can reunite as a human being, as we were intended to. I believe the Creator intended to have this like iris in us that communicates, that forms this frequency where, you know, we just co-exhibit, man. And we tend to do it civilly only because there's laws, but I think it just feels better. Hating comes with a lot of stress. Fighting is stressful. Anger is stressful. Discontent is stressful. But there's something else that's stressful, and I shared this with people. I'm gonna get to the panel here shortly. I shared this in the green room, Jacker, where you weren't in there. But let me just get to it as quickly as I can here. Simply as I can anyways, that for the last month to 2 months, I've had the type of knot or weight or pressure, and I struggle with delivering how it actually feels because I don't know what words to use for it, but I feel something is coming, and it's weighing on me. It's heavy. I don't know what it is. It doesn't feel exactly negative, but it does have some anxiety to it. And I don't think I'm alone here. So if you're there and you have this gut feeling about something and you can't put your finger on it, you don't know what's coming, you don't know what it is, don't allow yourself to be distracted by these narratives that are around us. Remember, our whole lives have been tampered with from day one. The birth certificate, the school education at the elementary level, college, more tampering. The dark sarcasm in the classroom is not just a lyric in a Pink Floyd album. We are talking major efforts took place to deceive 5, 6, 7, 10 generations. And that's and I believe that we are witnessing the result of this at this timeline. And that's why I am thrilled to be here. Every day I wake up right now is another day in the face of this new world order. It's in the face of their agenda to kill me. They want me dead. So every day I wake up, I'm winning. And you are too. If you're hearing this broadcast, you are too, because they want you dead too. We got to stop nitpicking around the facts here. This is a depopulation of major proportion, a depopulation agenda never seen before, ever, in the history of the world. At all these wars combined, nothing equals what they have done. There's never been a war where they've been able to shoot 2 billion people at one time. Never happened until now, in this timeline. Something is coming. They don't want us to be a part of it. They don't want us to see it. They don't want us to feel it, know about it, inherit it, gain from it, profit from it, grow from it, extend the consciousness. They want to shut us down and the world to be ran by a totalitarian state where transhumans roam the earth free. This is where we are. Welcome to the High Council. I am your host, The Mechanic. We are fully loaded. We can start with the hijacker. Welcome. How's everybody doing? Anybody can jump in. We are on it.
Yeah, well,
great monologue, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. That was pretty good, Mechanic.
That's the whole thing about it, isn't it? I'm exactly the same. You know, I should have been dead about 14 years ago when my heart, everything around my heart was dying. I had a triple bypass and I had to stop and think, why am I here? I'm in here because of this fight, this spiritual battle that you talk about, because otherwise, why would I be here still? I'd be gone. But every day I wake up and I know that this is why I'm still here. I'm here to wake people up, to keep fighting and to push Lucifer back into his dark hole as much as I can. And I think, you know, most of us here all, you know that's why we're here. We're still here because we have one hell of a fight and we're, you know, almost to the top of that mountain now, to the top of that hill, and we're winning. Regardless of all of this evil that's happening out there, we're winning, all right? You can feel it in my gut. I don't feel doom and gloom, and I haven't felt doom and gloom for a long time, you know. But we're here to win this, and win it we're going to do.
I guess we'll just go into some content. I was just going to open the table for everybody, but people seem to be a little slow to.
Two Feathers has something to say.
What you got, Sergeant Mo?
No, Two Feathers was going to say something.
Oh, Two
I just
Feathers?
Wanted to say I'm all out of bubblegum, but I got
all out of bubblegum. Yeah, I've been out of bubblegum for a minute now. Two Feathers, what do you got?
Yeah, and I was going to say that Pac has to take care of her dogs who love me. That's why she's on planet Earth still.
They were barking before for you in the green room. Did you hear them?
Yeah, her.
They don't see any feathers, yeah.
Yeah, but I have a couple of things, but I was going to let Jack run a little, like if he wants, he got something on his brain. I'll be back with a couple of things that I have, and if you want to run your videos, it's cool. I'll come back in a little bit. Jack, or you want to take it away, or Mechanic, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is all the trajectory of almost everything that we see is lining up. Usually things are diverted, like when we talk about a big war. You get the various players, they don't want to. And so they don't do it. But like in the case of the Ukraine and Russia, they both wanted it. When both sides want it, that's when it happens. It's when only the one side wants it and the other doesn't want it, then it doesn't seem to happen, which that's been the way it is been forever, at least in the Middle East. Now it's to the point everybody wants it. Iraq wants it. Iraq just told the United States, all your troops out. We don't want no more to do with you. Everybody, Yemen, the Houthis, everybody wants a party. Everybody wants to fight. And what makes it even more complex is that for the first time, both sides of the Muslim world, both the Sunni and the Shiite, they're now working together. And now they're all going to gang us and gang Israel, which is going to draw us in. And they're not scared of us anymore. They already know the stats. They already know our economics. They got good, smart people in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. They all can run the numbers. They know there's two things that kept basically the United States in charge of the world, where everybody feared us, where we could pretty much do what we wanted. It was our money and our military. Those two things. Well, now they know the money's almost over, with us being $34 trillion in debt, or $33 trillion and something. They know that's almost over. They know the BRICS is coming. But also,
Zachary, let me ask you about the debt. You know, 33 is a very peculiar number, and such it may be the times we're in and the narratives that are set forth within the media, the political narratives. Do you question this timeline, how everything's just falling together here?
Oh, yeah. No, when you take a look at it, you know, just as the kill shot is really, really racking in there. I mean, just as all these different forces, the supply chain, the scarcity, the food production.
And it's manufactured. And there, right. But the narrative is, if you go to the alternative world, is that this is biblical. Do you think this is biblical, Jacker?
I'm beginning to think that, you know, because I toured around with preterism, that the thousand-year Christ of reign of Christ has already come, and we're it. But I'm not so sure of that now. But, you know, we can even see now, like on the military side, where
Jacker, I hate to interrupt you, man, but let's get back to my question. I want you to focus on this for just a moment. Is this a biblical time event, in your opinion?
Absolutely.
You okay?
Look at the 5 billion people that took the jab. Look at if we do have a big war in the Middle East, like it's looking like that's what's going to happen. There's going to be over 2 billion, according to this one guy who studies cycles and quarter to populations, how many people die. He's got a formula, and he's hit right on everything from the Civil War on how many would die to the First World War to the Second. I mean, he's able to calculate. And he told Greg Hunter, after Greg Hunter, he wouldn't give the number. And then Greg Hunter says, well, you got to give me something. And he goes, well, 25%. How about that? Well, 25% of 8 billion people is 2 billion. So, but we're reaching the end of a lot of things. Like, for instance, even in the Ukraine with tanks, nobody even wants to get in the friggin' tank anymore, because a drone hits it and you end up getting cooked in a tin can.
Yeah, you're done. Like,
the carriers and all the naval ships, they don't mean anything anymore. I mean, the last remaining really most powerful weapon in the United States, any Navy, is the sub. But all surface ships, like Colonel McGregor says, they're nothing but targets now. The old ways of war is over. And nobody's scared of us anymore. And so it looks like...
Because everybody has the same tech.
That's right.
It's the scene. Okay, here's the scene. It's Vietnam. Dude just got drafted, went through boot camp. Now he's in the jungle. Who's his platoon leader? Sean Penn. Sean Penn gives the type of speech that is, I will find it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it for you. Screw talking about it. Jacker, take the mic. I'll be right back. Sean Penn delivers the type of monologue regarding everybody's got the same gun. And it's worth a listen because that's where we are now. Jacker, you make a very valid point. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. This is the last chance to have to make war, at least for the United States, because very shortly, all of these various weapons, they're not going to be anymore. Robotics is coming on now. Really sophisticated drones are coming on now. I mean, hacking. I mean, the damage that you can do just with computers. So the whole world has changed, and this is the last basically hurrah. And the Muslims, they're united. They think they can take us now. They're all on the same page. After what the Israelis did, burying whole Palestinian families alive, just dropping whole apartment buildings, one right after another, burying men, women, and children alive. I mean, nobody's ever said this is like, wow, wow. But yeah, so what I'm saying is it does look like this thing is scheduled to be kicked off this December. And like nobody wants to stop it. It's like everybody wants to fight. And whenever you see something like that, it's bad. You got now Stephen Bannon, the Israeli News Live. He's saying now, and Scott Ritter, most people don't know it. He's another Jew. They're getting information back from Israel that the Israelis, you're talking about like the normal upper middle class of the Israelis in their society, they want out of that hell pit. They can see what's coming, and they're not even letting them take flights out. No. You're a reservist. You ain't going nowhere. I mean, you got Jews capturing Jews now. You're gonna fight. And now, supposedly there's over 5,000 United States servicemen that did an assault on Gaza, along with Israelis. And Colonel McGregor says they were shot to pieces with a lot of casualties, which we're never going to hear about. And right after that, you heard this, everybody go slow, pause. So whether the information that Colonel McGregor got from his inside Pentagon resource, you know, sources is true or not, I don't know. But
they're not going to let, they are not going to let an individual of that caliber on national TV and present something that would cause an interruption in their narrative. So whatever McGregor says, in my view, whether it's intel, it's insight to a war strategy, or potential, you know, consequences of what could come to America when we open the borders to all these Palestinians, these types of things. He talks about a variety of subject matter having to do with foreign policy, war, and these types of things, being a general. I gotta believe that this dude is a bit of a presentation giver for the American populace. He is probably equivalent to like a Q type individual, in my view.
Well, I'll tell you what, Colonel McGregor, he is a Zionist in the classical sense of the word.
I think he's a player in the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Right. And so he gives the alternative, but you know, he says that Israel's got a right to defend itself, but he's basically said, like, holy cow, don't these people know we're in the age of the internet and the cell phone? And whatever the Muslims did on October 7th to the Jews, everybody forgot about, because all they can see is JM.
Well, Jack, what did they do on 10/7 to the Jews?
You know, a lot of people got a lot of questions. I mean, all the surveillance cameras they got in Israel, and from the footage I seen, okay, you got some people running around. Okay, I did see the people get gunned down when they pulled up to the gate, you know, but you know, when the drone was going over their rave or their Burning Man thing, Where were all the dead bodies? So,
bro, Jacker, let me tell you something, man. If I could show you a video where a bomb goes off, okay, truck bomb goes off, the surroundings look like it's Middle Eastern, truck bomb goes off, and the thing you realize right away is that the bomb goes off and there's nobody around. It's just the bomb and the truck. You see the guy put the bomb in the truck and he leaves. He leaves. Bomb goes off, and then to the left, this crowd of like 20 men and women come along and they're running over to the scene. But here's the thing. They're all bloody already. They're bloody and they just got to the scene. And then they lay down.
Yeah, they lay down and squirm.
About 30 seconds after that, another group comes in and they start saving the people that just lay down on the ground. That video minus the incoming rest, you know, the laying down of the actors, all you see from CNN, because this was played on CNN, literally this bomb was played on CNN, and they showed the rescuers coming in only. They did not show the actors, of course, laying down for the bomb. So given that, and given it was mainstream where I first saw the video, and then when I saw the video again in full length, complete exposure. I saw it. I think that video is like 7 years old now, 10 years old maybe.
So propaganda.
Oh, I have no obligation. I've been given zero evidence to believe whatever's on the mainstream news, whatever my president's telling me, whatever the local politician's telling me, whatever the congressman, the Senate, the House, the floor, the speaker, the cop. I have no reason to believe any government officials. None. I have no reason to believe teachers. I have no reason to believe school teachers. I've been given no obligation to, nor have I been given any kind of credibility to give any kind of teacher the credibility or resources to continue raising our children. They are defying education and change in exchange for indoctrination. These kids that go to school, they're in a classroom and they're having a blinder pulled over their eye, and they're being taught, in many cases, they're being put in opposition of their parents. They're being told that their parents are not in the know, and that their parents have been wrong, and that you don't have to share all of this that you learn. You don't have to take it home to your parents, but understand that they're going to fight with you about this. And one of those things, a bill was attempted, they attempted to pass this bill, it failed, that the parents were not going to be informed if their child was transitioning in school. Now, that's, again, I think it's a constitutional violation. I'm not going to get too deep into that aspect of it, but again, I want to go back to the timeline. They have indoctrinated these teachers. The teachers are indoctrinated the students. The students are going to college. They're getting into the workforce. And they're realizing that there's an advantage to having a woke mentality. So they're taking check this out. They're taking a little advantage of the woke for the job status and this and that and the social status or whatever, the clicks or whatever. But I do believe that they're picking and choosing what they want to support based on how it affects their personal lives. And we see this act out, don't we, guys? We see this act out all the time, okay, where they change their focus. What's happening in Israel, what's happening with this narrative, very much the same thing. They're trying to adapt to people figuring out what's happening. And the closer the people get to realizing that this is just a land grab in Gaza, and they're just going to do an extermination process to do it, the closer we get to stopping the whole thing. The whole thing
stopped. That's what it started out to be. But then what happened is somebody made
it. You think it's religious, though? Jack, what you said, do you think it was biblical? You believe it's biblical, not religious. Is there a difference?
No, what I'm saying is is I actually think the whole operation went sideways. And it went sideways because the people that did this thing were not anticipating the effect that the internet and the cell phones and the videos of the bombing had on the people. They knew that eventually they were going to have to do the big man dance with the Muslim man worldwide, but they weren't calculating on it now. That's why you see them behind the eight ball. But now it is completely spun out of control. And so what they had probably planned, waiting for maybe Trump to get back it, let him conduct a war, whatever, everything has been moved up, and there's no stopping it now. So it's like a fuse lit. And so everybody's moving stuff into place. Everybody. It's like, wow.
Arm up, people. I'm telling you, you need to arm up. You need to water up. You need to gas up. You need to be prepared to leave. You need to be prepared to protect your home, your property. I got a video on my Twitter that shows a whole U-Haul truck full of armaments, guns, in particular armaments, rifles mostly. They're for peacekeepers. It's labeled U.S. peacekeepers. But it's going to the U.N.
Yeah.
The U.N. soldiers are already here. And they're going to put on those uniforms, and they're going to be walking these streets at any given time.
Yeah,
they're going to stop this election and put UN on the streets. It's going to be insane if that happens, man, because I'm not compliant. So
yeah. Right. Well, there's a 39-year-old guy. He works for a high-caliber, like an international high-caliber corporation that does kinetic and cyber security. I guess that's the best way you want it. Jim Fetcher read off today his little inside statement. And he starts off, I'm 39 years old. I work for this particular corporation. Can't tell you who, can't tell you my name, but I'll tell you who we work for. We work as this kinetic and cyber security international firm. We work with the United States government, the UK government, the Israeli. We work for intelligence agencies, the CIA, MI6. We work for corporations, Exxon, BlackRock. For 3 minutes, they did nothing but just read off the people that he deals with. And he goes, I can tell you right now, particularly the American people, that you have right now in your country it was either 1 million or 100,000. It was the very least he said 100,000. 100,000 sleeper terrorists from all kinds of places, all kinds of countries in your country right now. And he says, I can tell you with 100% that within the next year, you are going to have major terrorist attacks on your country. You're talking about somebody with a machine gun opening up in a stadium event, a football game or a basketball game. He says, you're going to see the most hideous things that are happening to you. He says, I can guarantee you.
See, this is where.
And then Christopher Wray came out today, the FBI, and he goes, domestic terrorism.
I saw it.
Yeah. He says, that's a coming. So, no, this thing is coming. There's no stopping. This is judgment. This is some
kind of. You can't stop it. You boys just have to carry your guns. Right. You can carry a gun in your purse. So somebody, you know, go to the stadium. Yeah. If somebody's there in a stadium, we're suffering to take out a lot of people, you know, all you little women, all you have to do is take your little gun out of the purse and shoot him. So it can be stopped, right? All of these events can be stopped and stopped quickly. Providing that you boys carry your guns and you girls carry your guns over there. And the thing is, like, you've had about 8 million, and I think it was brought up in Congress. There's about 8 million people who have come across the border. So look at all those people that were given those envelopes. Are all those people that were given the envelopes, are they those sleepers that you're talking about, hijacker? Probably. So, you know, and all of it can be prevented, providing that you just, you know, carry a gun and be aware of what's around you. Keep an eye on. I was listening to somebody this morning, and they were talking about people need to be aware of their surroundings. If they're being followed, if somebody's, you know, looking a little bit, you know, suspicious, you know, you need to be aware so that you can take these people out before they take you out. And that's just common sense.
Yeah. Situational awareness will do a lot to save your ass. But after that, you need to strike and evade. That's it. You're not hanging around to find out. You need to strike, create distance. That's it. Strike and create distance. And if you can eat in the meantime, you might survive. I'm sorry. That's wartime talk. Sorry. Communities, strong communities, build food chambers, get some certain understandings of if what happens, if things go wrong, if this scenario happens, if that scenario happens. You need to start having these discussions. You need to start having the type of conversations that really make people cringe. But you need to draw people into these conversations somehow. They need to be had. If you're close with your neighbors, probably worth having it now rather than later. Me, not too close to my neighbors, not too close. A lot of people, I make people uncomfortable. I do. And I understand it. I can feel it. People are increasingly growing uncomfortable around me. And it's not a negative thing. I understand. A lot of what I say is not so positive. Guys, people need to hear it. People need to hear it. I feel like I'm walking around and I'm Rick Grimes yelling at people. How many zombies do I have to kill before you people wake up? I feel like I'm the Rick Grimes of men.
Well, I'm Negan. Sergeant Miller named me. I'm Negan.
Yeah, buddy.
It's funny because at the end of that series, he turned out to be – they tried to make him a good guy. Get the hell out of here. They totally did a reversal on Gagan? What's his name?
Negan,
that's right. They did a complete reversal on that guy's good guy, bad guy status, right? I mean, the guy wrapped a baseball bat in barbed wire. I don't need to say anymore. Okay, Jack. That's how you see yourself, huh? Okay, dude. Hope you got the right people lined up, bro, because we can use that kind of force. We need warriors. We need people that can speak this, because that is how we get more people to not comply. The more people that realize that their whole lives have been a sham, their educations have been convoluted with historical falsities. You've been given false narratives about historical references and wars, weapons of mass destruction, the Battle of Tonkin, 9/11, two planes, three towers. Give me a break. They literally put a Roadrunner type implement in the side of a building in the shape of a plane to make people believe. It's an exoskeleton steel structure built to handle a Boeing 704 or 703 or something like that, which is a major, major plane.
Well, you know, that's the other thing that's happened with this October 7th thing, because it was done so poorly.
They're calling it their 9/11, Jacker.
Right. That's my point. Now that people saw, especially the Jews themselves in Israel, like 90% of them, no, it was an inside job, what happened on the 7th. The world can now see what went on. So now you go back and you go, well, did you people do something like this before? And then all of a sudden, wow, they did do 9/11. They were part of it. So everything's being exposed. But there is one thing that can be done. And when I say Negan, I'm saying like a big idea that can actually stop this. And that is, if you actually take a look
of what should happen with the Palestinians. They are the fly in the ointment. Now, people say, okay, let's do two-state solution. Everybody knows from here on out that's never going to work. You're never going to do it. However, why don't we give the Palestinians, the actual Palestinians, the 10 million worldwide, let's give them a vote. Let's give them a choice. So it would go something like this. If the great and mighty warrior king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, went along with it, and he would give a piece of the old Khazarian Empire in the Ukraine, a piece of land, and saying, look, you can have a new Palestine. You become part of the Russian Federation. This would be the deal. And let's put it to a vote and let every single Palestinian, basically 18 and older, have a vote. Do you want to stay in Israel and try to work out a deal with the Jews with a two-state solution or whatever? Keep doing what you're doing. You women want to keep raising children that don't get enough nutrition, that end up Palestinian boys and girls always get rickets. Do you want to stay like that, or do you want to come to the promised land, to the new Palestine, where you will become part of the Russian Federation, where you can govern yourselves like a nation, but you won't be. And that can be done. Every single Palestinian can actually take a vote.
We haven't heard from Chris. We'll go Chris, and then we'll go Sergeant Miller. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, look, this is just a question for everybody. It's a rhetorical question, but they're all calling this, you know, Israel's 9/11. Why aren't they calling it Israel's January 6th?
Well, they are. They have referred to it as that.
Mm-hmm. As the January 6th? Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, I think I've heard it from one or two of the reporters down there in Israel. But this is their big deal. This is their Pearl Harbor. This is their 9/11, right? So,
I think January 6th.
That's how they're treating it. That's the narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're treating it like January 6th, are they? Yeah, round everybody up.
And well, Hamas got on there and does the reverse. Sorry, Sergeant Miller. Hamas gets on there and he says today that his goal, the leader of Hamas, who is the leader of Gaza, said that their goal is to continue 10/7 like terrorist acts until every Israeli is terminated.
That's why you got to separate
now, them. Why would they put that guy on national television in Israel and make that statement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to inflame everybody, yeah.
This is planned. This is orchestrated. No. This isn't biblical.
No, the Palestinians themselves, we're in the age of the internet. There's no reason, no matter where the Palestinian lives on the earth, that they can't take a vote and saying, look, here are the two or three different plans for you as a people. Pick one. Vote on one. And let them themselves vote. I'll bet you 10 to 1.
Hijacker, you need to leave America. You need to just leave America.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, well, you're telling these Palestinians to just leave their land, right? So what's the difference? What is the difference? They've been there from the day dot in Palestine. Israel were only dumped there.
Okay, How about this? How about let the Palestinians decide what they want to do? Let them have a vote.
They've already decided. Israel is doing to them. They want to stay there because that's their homeland.
Right.
That's why a majority of Palestinians don't live in Palestine, in Israel. Is that right?
Now that's respective with what Pak is saying, but to the point of Hijacker on his side.
There's 2 million of them that live in refugee camps in Jordan. There's another million that live in Lebanon in refugee camps. Let's give them a vote. Where do you all want to go? Has somebody got a deal?
Get rid of Israel.
Wait a minute. To the respect of
you want to force feed refugees democracy, Jacker. Congratulations.
No, give them a vote. You want to stay in Israel? You want more of the same shit with these Jews? Okay, go ahead. Have it. Vote. I'm telling you.
No, but listen, y'all.
Most of them would haul ass in a second. They would go to the new paradise. in the Ukraine.
All right, Jacker, give Two Feathers a chance. Go ahead, Two Feathers.
Yeah, so to the respects of Pac and Jacker, the thing is, yes, I'm in the camp with Pac saying that they shouldn't have to leave their homeland. But in the camp of Jacker, they said that the Israelis posted something today, or they were speaking about it today, that if Pakistanis, they either leave or die. And who has the greater weapons, which is Israel has all the damn weapons. They brought in the bulldozer today, clearing the land for the tanks to come through. But they're going house to house. They're on the ground. I saw them with my own eyes.
Oh, yeah. They're think about if they did do this and they did go to New Palestine and the Ukraine. Think about the level of terrorism that you would have in years to come. It would be postcards with Palestinians building snowmen, and Hamas would send these postcards right at the height of summer in Israel to all of the Israelis. And the Israelis would have to look at the Palestinians making snowmen in a nice, cool, clean Ukraine while they're down there in the sandbox sweating. That would be the new terrorism.
Throw something else out there. What if Ukraine was deliberately being depopulated in order to relocate Israel to new Ukraine or Jew Ukraine?
Well, that was the old agenda.
Back to where they came from, the Khazarians. That's where they came from. So Israel back there.
Yeah.
Right? That would solve all of Palestinians' problems.
Oh, well, think about justice of it. The Israelis, the Jews, take the Palestinians' land, and then the Palestinians take the Khazarian Jewish homeland. I mean, that would burn their blood. I mean, they would. You talk about rage.
And then Israel will be like, we want that land back. Y'all gave us Palestine land. We want that land back too.
Well, that then they'd have to admit that they would have to admit that they weren't really Jews, but they were Khazarians. Mm. You see what I mean? They couldn't say nothing.
Well, you get them out for that.
Genius.
It's not genius. You're just going to start a war from, like, you know, a little bit further away. That's just ludicrous.
You think the Palestinians are going to...
And leave Palestine to themselves. Palestine were peaceful people. The Palestinians... Sure.
If they moved to the Ukraine, they wouldn't be starting fights with their neighbors. They would be eternally gracious to Russia.
You have no love for your country if you just think that Palestinians are just going to pick themselves up and go to another country.
Ludicrous. I bet they would.
Some already left.
Yeah, you just said that you've got like all of these sleepers in there, right? So you know that they're coming, right? And all of these sleepers in there ready to attack America on American soil. So what are you going to do, hijacker, when the time comes? Are you going to leave your country and hope that that Putin finds a little bit of land for the Americans?
Oh, I would take that deal, sure.
Yeah, I know you will. That's what I mean. Right?
Well, he's already given Americans sanctuary that want to leave this hostile government in Russia. You can go there and they'll help you find employment and, they'll help set you up. So go for it, Jacker. You can bring your chickens. Might have to quarantine them for a while. Russia, I'm not convinced that Putin is not a part of the New World Order to some degree. He's playing a role here. Or he's trying to shut the New World Order down and be that he is a part of a new World Order, a different New World Order.
But didn't he kick the Federal Reserve
that doesn't include the West. Go ahead, Two Feathers.
Didn't he kick the Federal Reserve out of his country, Sergeant Miller?
Yep.
All right.
Rothschild Bank.
There you go. So I mean, you know, if y'all want me to make these couple points, Mechanic, I can make these couple points that I wanted to bring to the table.
Got a couple points? You got a couple points? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go back to this thing that you got in your gut. You know, that's not there for no reason, no. I think you're right on the money. I think you're looking and you're seeking these answers that are so bestowing you, you know, that that's coming up on you. That it feels like a straight, like a strong weight. And I think you have all the reason to feel that, because biblically, if we all remember that the scripture said there'll be signs and wonders that this man ascended that's supposed to come about in our time. He's supposed to rain down fire, okay? Now, whom is raining down the fire? Who's calling down the fire? Okay, and I need Deacon John to be on the call for this last one. But the second one, okay, is the lost scriptures that we vaguely speak about here at the station. You know, people want to say that why was these lost scriptures taken out of the, you know, the scriptures of the Bible? Now, people that look for his coming to come, as we speak about revelation, is a revealing, right? It's a beautiful thing for Christian believers of the Almighty Yahweh. That you know that these lost scriptures being the revealing of the truth, because you know, as well as us here at the station, you know, a lot of us, you know, we seek the truth because this is the why we come with the, you know, the way that we bring our information. That it's, you know, it's not just thrown out there like on a whim, you know, that we, you know, we believe in what we're saying to be, you know, truthful facts. And, you know, we wouldn't want the people, because we take people's timelines very serious. You see what I'm saying? So Deacon John has joined us again. And if he wouldn't mind, that thing about King Charles. You know that thing that you showed us that has the dragon on the, is that a vest? Or is that some kind of plaque that has all those emblems? It makes me wonder, he said that the, he would be given power by the dragon. And if you
is that the crest?
That, yeah. The crest. Yeah.
That's called heraldic achievement, also known as coat of arms. And there's okay. A International College of Heraldry in London that produces those things independently. It goes back to the Middle Ages, because when knights had their suits of armor on, you couldn't tell what side they were on, so they had their coats of arms and colors and stuff so you could identify who they were in battle and stuff. That's how that works.
Okay, but, so here's my thing, Deacon. What I would be curious to know is I was thinking about this earlier today. And I was wondering, okay, now it's after 12 here, I was wondering if those emblems that is on that coat of arms or whatever, does it have, you know, because it has these British revealings or these different revealings, does it have, could it be that it has, if we looked at it good enough, could we see revealings of approvals from different countries? Like, because remember, he is given power to do what he does. And a lot of people, as we know, Klaus Schwab, Henry Kissinger, all these people answer to him. So in this coat of arms, does it have signs? Remember, we think about signs and wonder, right? So does he?
Right.
Does he? Go ahead.
So yeah. So the coat of arms. You know, Tim Cohen is a guy that's sort of the theologian and scholar on this. He's been working on this since, I don't know, the 90s, and he's a Messianic Jew, and so he got a hold of the coat of arms and compared it to the Book of Revelation. describes the first beast rises out of the sea. And he matches all that up with what's on the coat of arms. And then he does the biblical calculation for Charles, Prince of Wales. And it comes out as 666. Then to answer your question, yeah, there's other stuff on the coat of arms that's linked up to other lesser antichrists and lesser leaders and stuff like that. Mm. And Tim Cohen has that stuff all worked out. And I don't remember exactly how he explained it, but there were the other stuff on the crest with the heraldic achievements got all that stuff in it too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of these things that's historic. They've done it over 100 years. So a lot of the symbols and signs within the coat of arms, before they even knew how they would mean as far as biblical prophecy, they were actually putting these things together according to historic events. So it's not even like they could have manipulated it.
Faked it, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of these organic things. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
There's a whole timetable in the book of Revelation. It mirrors Christ's life, you know, the crucifixion and a timeline and stuff like that. And he's got it all charted out. So actually, that's what I've been working on. I got some biblical reference guides by some theologians and stuff. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, this. It's not the easiest thing to understand because of the language, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of it's symbolic, some of it's literal, and it takes a real trained eye to figure out which is which, you know. So I'm just trying to some basics on that.
You're using discernment. Two feathers? Do you have something?
No, go ahead, Mechanic, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you're using discernment to, I would imagine you're using discernment, to kind of discover the program, right? Understand the program. We'll be back, folks. 1 hour in the books. Hang tight.
Because Two Feathers has something, too, I wanted to share with the world.
I can imagine.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no! Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, everybody, welcome back to hour number two here on the High Council. The Green Room, fire as usual. And we have a standout. Jacker refuses to participate in the Green Room, and I'm really disappointed by this. I think that Jacker should be a part of the Green Room. It's a great discussion. It's short, it's quick, it's to the point. Sometimes it comes on the air, sometimes it don't. But I encourage you, Jacker, to be a part of the Green Room discussion.
Well, I'm a conservative. I save my ammo.
Oh, that just means I'm, I guess I just have more magazines at the moment.
Well, I'm saying if you're going to be on the radio, if you're going to be on the radio, you're going to go for maximum impact.
I see. Oh, you're a little older. I understand. Okay. Let's get on and onward, because the question to me has not been answered. And I guess it kind of has in a way. You feel this is biblical times. I kind of want to go around the board. Sergeant Miller, biblical times? Here's the alternative. Biblical times or manufactured?
Well, two points. Which Bible are you referring to? And my other point is, if I buy like an entertainment center and I got to put it together myself, first thing I usually do is read the instruction manual. And if I follow that instruction manual, am I surprised by it being sturdy and built just like it is on the box?
Yeah, I'm going to take it.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? That's why I asked. The first point was, which Bible are you referring to? You're talking about the King James? Well, which King James? You had four different King James. Which one are you referring to? Then you got the 1599 Geneva Bible. You have the Apocrypha. You have the Emerald Tablets. You had the Kabbalah.
Actually, the New American Bible. The New American Bible is probably the most accurate and easy to use.
Agamotti.
Okay, so you got the Septuagint. You got the Ethiopian Bible written in Tewahedo. and they speak the language again. You know, you got a lot of books out there with the title called Bible. So which one are you using? Using the 1611?
I guess I would have to say the King James Version, because according to the speaker, and you know, many of these what do you call these Republicans in Congress, whatever, they're a joke. All of them are a joke in my view. But they seem to be on this vibe that they've been given authority by God to destroy Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that they learned of this authority from the Bible. And that doesn't read correct to me, because the Bibles that I know, it's got a common denominator, and thou shalt not kill is one of them. Now, and that is in reference to the innocents, like children and women. Okay, women and children. So then I got to think, every video I've seen, I got questions about, because there are tiny fragments of missing information that doesn't add up in the video. And it's got to do with this war. It's to do with, I know they manufacture stories. I know it. They've been doing it since I was a kid. I remember being 17 years old. No. Yes. No. Yes. 17. 18. Sorry. 18. And I saw CNN apparently in some type of war setting, a gas mask, a members only jacket, a mustache. And I'm watching it. And at this time in my life, I was very familiar with Saturday Night Live. And I used to watch Saturday Night Live religiously. We had a VCR. I would try to record it. Saturday Night Live was my go-to when I was a kid. I love Saturday Night Live. Chevy Chase coming in and whatnot. Falling over
Belushi.
Chips. Yeah, Belushi. Doing the news. The news segments, right? So as I'm watching everything unfold on this CNN broadcast, I'm reminded of Saturday Night Live. And it dawned on me. I was like, this is fake. These people are, they're forgetting their lines. Their props aren't in order. Because at the time, I was also in drama class in my high school. I was an actor. I was in several plays already. I played the Scrooge. Imagine that. I had all females for my dear. How about that? I did Arsenic and Old Lace. I did West Side Story. I did several of these plays. Saturday Night Live. I'm watching these episodes.
You're talking about the imagery mechanic, the imagery that you saw.
At 17, 18, I'm watching this CNN report. Desert Storm was on the horizon, and I knew something was wrong. And I see it today. I see the same thing today, only Wolf Blitzer is more professional. Only the homosexual, what's his name? The white hair, real thin. He's their go-to guy in CNN. Former CIA asset.
Mr. Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Vanderbilt. What's his name?
Anderson Cooper.
The Vanderbilts are his parents.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, this homosexual on CNN, a former. Listen. Homosexuals and LGBTQ members have cursed straight people. They have labeled us cis.
I no longer have an obligation to respect their lifestyle. They are now called homosexuals, and I will address them accordingly. Mr. Cooper, a homosexual on CNN, has constantly agreed with the narrative that white supremacy is the number one problem in the United States. He is constantly fed and divided this country in his job, and he works for CNN. So, again, CNN has remained at a low-level theater for me the majority of my life. We're talking 35 years. I have known that CNN was bullshit. Now, how many people in this country can say even half that long? I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. And I think that that contributes to our problems. Obama legalizes the propagandizing of an entire nation, a populace. They spew it all out. In comes COVID. No difference. All the propaganda was legal for COVID. All the propaganda was legal. Thanks to the Obama administration. Doesn't matter how much I know about the news and how fake it is and how I saw through the matrix at a young age. They are still a threat. They still impose a heavy-handed threat on the naive, the undisciplined, the vulnerable, the uneducated, not the indoctrinated, because we're on board. Go ahead.
Yeah, what you're saying, though, mechanic, you're saying that this war is fake. Everything that we're seeing is fake.
This war, they wag the dog.
But what I'm saying is that we are seeing real JDAM bombs drop apartment buildings in Gaza.
I agree. This is,
They've been doing it. That's what the mechanic is trying to say. 2008, I think it was, 2010, 2012, 2014. You know, they just keep doing it, right? Israel has bombarded Gaza Strip for the last 10 years, 15 years, and nobody has given a damn about it.
That's because the level of
Israel and the chosen people and all that bullshit stuff that goes along with Christianity.
No, listen, it's different this time, Pac, because they didn't realize that the technology and the cell phone has caught up to them. You genuinely got 1.5 billion or 1.3 billion, I think it is, 1.3 billion Muslims worldwide, completely united and enraged. This is for real. That's what I'm saying. Everybody wants to fight.
Well, it's not real as in, you know, like a normal type of war, because all of the wars have been constructed. They've all been planned out to make it look like we need to go to war, right? And they're doing exactly the same thing here.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome. Good to hear you guys. Mechanic, that was such an excellent monologue to begin with. That was amazing. I struggled to think that this, like what Pac was saying, is not just instigated from a false flag as well. And if you had to get kind of dirty and ask whether – you know, whether Mossad would do that? Of course they would. No doubt, no hesitation.
Yeah, this is Cortex out of Australia. Go ahead, Cortex.
And there's, you know, I mean, it's been pretty much civil war in the last 12 months. You know, there's nothing, no easier first page of the pamphlet trick than to pull something like that to kind of bring in emergency powers. So that's my take on it.
So what were the people fighting for? Netanyahu wanted executive power over the Israeli form of the Supreme Court. He'd been wanting that to cover his ass from his war crimes that's put on international international court. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line with it. You got to cover his ass. And who's the United States got to cover his ass.
Who's that new Speaker of the House that you guys got in the U.S.?
Johnson.
I've been liking a few things he's been saying. I'm not sure. What do you guys think of him? I don't know.
With the Noah High laws.
Yeah, no, he's this guy Michael Johnson, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He's a big time Zionist. He's woke. He's proved it. I think he adopted a black child just to show, look, you know, I'm not prejudiced. So
he's not really on the level?
No, nobody can be. Once you get up there, there's so much corruption.
So many people go in there trying to make a difference, and the system changes them.
What he really represents is that in this country, in the United States, there's about 40 or 45 million what you call Christian Zionists. That is the backbone of basically Jewish power in the United States. They can always tap that. The problem now, especially with this leveling Gaza and everybody finding out that these supposed Jews aren't really Jews, but they're Khazarians, is they're losing probably 100,000 Christian Zionists a day. And so they exercise and use that power block of those Christian Zionists, of which this guy, Mike Johnson, represents. He's a big time Christian Zionist. Or within a short period of time, you're going to lose it. And so that's why I'm thinking everything points to no matter which way no matter which variable you put into the formula for like splitting the political atom, every single time when the formula comes out, it always comes out a big war is coming. A big war is coming. A big war is here. In fact, a lot of people think it's going to start in December. Not only people, really big, powerful people who've been reverse speech, people like Blinken, people like Austin Lloyd, the black fella that's head of the Defense Department. A lot of those big top people have been reverse speech. They're all saying war's coming, devastation's coming. And then you've had a lot of people that have had dreams and stuff and visions. That right around Christmas time, okay. All they know is just Christmas lights.
Jacker,
in which
am I being heard? Audio?
Yeah, all good.
Okay, Jacker. Hey, listen, I just lost power in the whole neighborhood. We're in a complete blackout right now. So,
is there any reason for it?
What's that? I didn't get. We usually get a notice when they do this.
I had a blackout for 2 hours. And there was no reason for it here today.
Okay.
Power just went out. 2 hours. No reason.
Perfect time. The time is
no right storm.
10:18. The power went out. What time did I get kicked off the air? 10:15?
Yeah, it wouldn't be more than a couple minutes ago.
Two or three minutes, right? Okay.
Yeah.
10:15. 10:15. What's a 10:15? What's a 10:15? So go ahead, continue the broadcast, guys. I got a deal. Go ahead, Jagger.
Yeah, it's pretty eerie when it goes out, mechanic. There's something.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting in black weather.
Yeah, completely different world between having power and not. Just like, it's like another dimension. Completely another dimension.
Well, I mean, I can go get my
feel. That's why you go off the grid. That's why you go off the grid. They can turn off the power all around me, but they won't be able to turn mine off. Unless the sun disappears. But can
they're
I
working
disappear?
On it. They're working on it.
Well, they're working on that. You just stand by, sweetheart.
Yeah, I'll stand by.
they're working on that deal. We got Bill Gates who wants to cut down trees and bury them in the name of climate change. Go yourself.
Yeah, well, they do all of that stuff with the so-called biochar, too, you know. Biochar, that's another, you know, con that people are being conned into. Because, you know, biochar, they will throw, like, just a way of getting rid of all waste. And then you just sprinkle it on your garden. It's so good for it. Yeah, it's just another con. But, Hijacker, just one of the things that you were saying, in a, you call them Zionist Christians in America. I don't put any of the religions with the Zionists because I think they're just a different satanic group on their own, the Zionists. I don't put Jew beside them. I don't put Christian beside them. I don't put Muslim beside them because when you connect those two words together, you're giving them credibility. And they're satanic. The Zionists are satanic. They have pretended and infiltrated the Jews and the Muslims and the Catholics and all the other, you know, the Freemasons and all the rest of them. So we have to make sure that when we talk about these Zionists, these evil satanic people, that we just use that one word instead of putting them as a Christian.
Because well, no, because most people would think that a Zionist, it's like what Joe Biden said. You know, Joe Biden said, quote, "I don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist." He says, I'm a Zionist. Right, I'm a Zionist. So there is a distinction. There is a block of people, 40, 45 million strong, that are Christian Zionists. Most of the pastors in this country, Protestant pastors in this country, are Zionist.
John Hayden.
Conned. They're all conned.
I know they're conned, but I'm saying is
that this religion, that it's a religion, right? Zionism itself is not. It's satanic. And you can't put Christ in anything that's satanic.
I know, but it's just wordplay. You got to give a definition.
I think it's easier to leave religion out of it. Did you see recently?
Exactly.
Musk was going, you know, it's really even, it's really just the humanists or the, you know, the exterminationists kind of thing. That's the two groups, you know, mix religion into it.
No.
Because it's all politics. It's all politics.
Yeah, religion, I'm just looking for a way to simplify it.
Yeah, but these 45 million Christian Zionists, they're not Satanist. They have a belief system. About who the Jews are and the whole thing that's going on over there in Israel. It's that belief system. Now, yeah, it's a satanic belief system they've been conned into, like Pat says, but these are good people. They love God, love Jesus, don't want to murder, don't steal, pray, sing to God, everything. They're just, I used to be one. I know what they are. I used to be such an extreme Christian Zionist. But literally, my whole head was full of that pus. I mean,
I used to be a sign.
Oh yeah.
Well, now it makes sense.
A zealot Christian Zionist. Oh, I know what they are. I know what they believe. And you know, it was only once I actually got a hold of the information. And then actually started to take a look at what happened with 9/11 and then started to research it. And then more research led to more and more. And so now I basically know what the score is. I got on top of the mountain. I got on top of a lot of mountains. So I can see more clearly than, you know, most people, like most of us here that are on the radio. We literally are like the one percenters or maybe the three percenters as far as knowledge. We're almost like small g gods of knowledge compared to your average person on the street. They don't know anywhere near what we know.
Yeah. Careful. Yeah. Sounds like small h hubris.
Well, I mean, I'm giving you a word picture.
Now you got that little dick syndrome, have you? When you think you're better than other people, more intelligent than other people.
No, I don't think I'm more intelligent. No, I know more. There's a difference.
You know more. How do you know more?
Because I do.
Why do you think that you know more? Because you're a Zionist? You think you know more?
No, I'm not a Zionist anymore. Pac, if you were to go down to your local street corner and you were to pick any of the subjects that we talked about tonight, and you start talking to an average person on the street, do you think they would know what you're talking about?
Well, I'm an average Joe Blow on the street.
No, you're not. Huh? No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Pac, did you take the jab?
No.
Well, then you're not there.
I am.
You are above average.
Come back for the jabs. There's a high number that didn't take jabs, right?
Oh, no, no,
because
no, no.
We know that they're white them. I think now in America only 3% went back for their booster. 3%.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, starting
to be
aware.
This is my point. Look, 80, 90% of Australians took the jab. The very fact that you didn't.
Don't believe the statistics, right? Don't believe the government statistics. See, that's where you and me differ. You keep looking up mainstream government and media BS. I don't get my figures from them. I get my figures by the people that I talk to. And I tell you, there's a lot more people that didn't get the jabs than what the government.
Okay, percentage-wise, how many people in Australia you think actually took at least one of the shots?
Maybe 50%.
Yeah, I'd say at least 50, 60. Tops.
Yeah.
I'm so surprised of all the people, all walks of life, and all ages who I can have conversations like this with, where, you know, 3 years ago, not so much, you know, and not about everything. And Hijack, you're completely right. I mean, you've been with the station as long as I have, which was just after 9/11 kind of thing. And so, you know, a lot of knowledge comes and goes. So you probably do know more than, you know, the average Joe. And no, Pat, you're above average because, you know.
Anybody that listens to alternative radio is up there in the single-digit high percentile as far as the amount of knowledge that we know.
I don't feel myself as above anybody. And I think as soon as we put ourselves above average, right, then you're putting yourself in a box like the government does. You know, get an IQ test. You know, see whether you're better than the other fella, right? We are all equal.
No, I was mentioning a fact.
Yeah, I know, but when we use that terminology, then we have gone away from Christ, that we are all equal. And that's where you make the mistake by joining them.
Pat, the very fact is that you're a female. That's a fact.
Last I looked, yes, I was.
You're saying you are a female.
Yeah, I'm a woman.
You think you know that, and you're putting yourself better than anybody else because you know that? How dare you? That's not very Christ-like.
I am not putting myself above being. I'm sorry, but Christ made me. The Creator
You said you're a female.
You said you're a female. Going against anything that he has said.
You're saying you're a female. By the very fact that you're making a definitive statement of fact, it's like you know more and you're putting yourself above everybody.
You want to say that because I'm a woman, that I'm above any other man or woman?
No, what I'm saying is facts are facts. If you know more than other people, then that's a fact. If you are female and you know you're female, that's a fact. If the sun puts off heat, that's a fact.
Anybody up the street will know that I'm a female, so that doesn't make them below me.
No.
So any Joe on the street is going to know that I'm a female.
You're not getting my point.
No, and you're not getting my point.
No. I mentioned that about the female to try to show you what we're talking about is facts. When you say you know more than most people, that is a fact. That is not saying I am better than everybody else. How did you convolute that?
More in a certain category,
right,
than somebody else.
Right.
So somebody else will probably know something more in another category than you. So we're all leveled.
No, we're not all level. No, we're literally like gods of knowledge compared to the average person. That's how far we are above a lot of people. They know nothing. That, listen, there's people out there that are so dirt ignorant, you wouldn't even believe.
A lot of people, but less and less these days. More and more people, you know, you can have this conversation with
and get
a reasonable response.
Yeah, a lot of people are waking up. That's right. But
chemicals and the stuff that's happened to them, that doesn't mean that they themselves, you know, because they could be detoxed and then come back to normal and now have the same knowledge that we have.
Well, it's interesting. How do you, if you know someone who was vaccinated, it shouldn't really be looking at them as though they're a dumb individual. They just got their news sources from the wrong place, kind of thing. You know, in all other aspects of things, people are generally quite reasonable, quite intelligent, given the right information.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, y'all remember the movie American Sniper with Chris Kyle?
Yeah.
The dad, there was at the dinner table, and the dad was talking to his son, and he said, "Son, the world is filled with wolves and sheep, and we are the sheepdog because we warn the sheep that danger is coming." So I think that's where you're going with it, Jacko.
Yeah. And then once you get the knowledge, then you can put together a weapon like the Palestinians ought to have a few options and let the Palestinians themselves do a 10 million Palestinian vote and let them decide their fate. Then you can build weapons.
What about the Ukrainians? Where you're going to put the Palestinians? Don't they get a vote on if 10, however million Palestinians are going to come live in their backyard?
Yeah. And you get to vote
no, because it's Russian land.
Need to vote.
Well, yeah, the Russians could vote.
Because, I mean, if you were like sitting there and they're like, yeah, we're going to have Palestinians. What? I mean, don't you think some might vote, you know, the other way? It could get complex.
Yeah, Russia would have to get the vote first.
I would actually think that there's a surreptitious plan sort of to do what was suggested earlier is the old Khazarian homeland. Ukraine is being systematically, you know, the people are being decimated so that there'll be room for greater Israel there as well.
That's probably true.
It's interesting seeing the just levels of hatred bubbling to the surface, you know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and I was just thinking, you know, if you know, I don't know, one side defeats the other, let's say hypothetically, does that hate then go away? I don't know. There's just so much. I don't know. You see it in movies. People wanting vengeance for someone, for a loved one being killed, and then being tried to be talked out of that you know, taking another life won't make a difference.
They still have an issue with blood feuds in Albania. There's like people in Albania that never leave their houses because it's like, you know, the Hatfield McCoy, like old family feuds here in America, but they serious business, the blood feuds where the families just kill each other on sight. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little of that, but when you got, especially in a Christian culture, because we're the big religion about forgiveness, but when it gets down to Judaism and Islam, those are religions of vengeance, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's why they're never going to get along. But they're going to have to come up with some kind of solution.
If one disappears, then who's the next opponent?
I don't know. Then probably Israel's going to start arguing with Syria about those Golan Heights really extend a lot further than that. But wherever they go, you know they're going to start a fight. But at least that ain't going to be an intermix with, you know, where it's, you know, one street is Muslim and then the next street is Jewish. They're going to have to be separate. But it's not going to make a difference. We got this big war coming and nothing's going to stop this. And it looks like it's going to come right around December, right around Christmas.
I love that you're throwing the idea out there. I mean, I don't hear a lot of people trying to come up with different ideas to solve it.
No, none.
You
know, everybody wants to fight now. Everybody looks like everybody wants to have at it. I mean, so what do you say, Mr. Rowe? You've been pretty quiet. So,
well, there's also another thing that's been going on is if you look up the Ben Gurion Canal, it's B-E-N space G-U-R-I-O-N, Ben Gurion Canal, it would open up the Red Sea from the Red Sea to Gaza Ashkelon. And isn't it interesting that Gaza Ashkelon line there is exactly where all of this stuff is going on? It's North Gaza. And basically they want to have an alternative to the Suez Canal, because the Suez Canal is in Egypt, which means Egypt gets all the money. And also it's kind of an older canal and only one ship at a time can go in a direction. So they want to create, you know, a U.S., Israel, and I guess whoever else is involved in the deal, a new canal that, you know, they can get all the revenue, which is a lot of money, you know, paying the toll to bring those ships through. And then that's part of the other plan that, you know, is, I believe, going on. And it gives also an excuse for perpetual war. You know, we get to use all our toys up, and a new boogeyman. And I think they're also going for maybe a little bit of Benghazi effect, where they want to have this trigger to get everybody else riled up, or the rest of the Islamic world, you know, and little by little get little sparks going off here and there, because that justifies the need for government protection, right? Oh, there's a little hotspot here and things going on there. We need more people. And for whatever reason, I don't know if this has to do with anything, but the Marines just canceled like one of their major balls that they like tradition. And there's a little bit of scuttlebutt saying, look, Marines don't cancel tradition. And the guy was, whoever it was that canceled it, was saying the decision was not made lightly, but because of operational situations that have popped up, they can't even have a ball. So what connotation does that make? You know, I mean, are we sending armadas over there and all of this? Are we mobilizing and people getting ready to talking about drafts and, oh, we got to go to war because of Palestinians?
Are they canceling the annual, I think it's the 210th anniversary.
Wow. Yeah, the big one. And there's a little head scratching right there. And plus the rumors of, you know, a false flag, like, oh, look, Israel got a nuke or something to whoever, whatever group, and it's gone off here and this escalates things. And, you know, they do want perpetual war, just like they want perpetual sickness. So you got to get your vaccines. You're going to need another booster. Here we go. Just today here in California, my county and several others now are mandating, now only for hospitals and medical centers or medical workers, you know, that if you go to the doctor or if you work in the healthcare industry, you got to wear the mask. You got to wear the mask. So they're starting to sneak that in. And don't worry, they said it's seasonal. So here
it's only for 2 weeks.
For the perpetual sickness bullshit and the same around. But back to the war thing. Yeah, they want to build the Ben Gurion Canal, and they also want to get rid of the Palestinians and take that land. I think that they want to I'm on the fence with Putin. I don't know what Russia's doing. They seem to, I mean, if they're part of the big overall plan of the Great Reset or not, I still don't know. So back to you guys.
And you're talking about the Silk Road.
About the canal.
That's what you're getting to, right, Mr. Rowe? That old Silk Road trade routes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mediterranean. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, up through there where Ukraine is and all that, that was the old Silk Road and a route where it used to be Khazaria a long time ago. And so everybody trading between Asia and stuff to Europe would have to go through that region. Uh-huh. And so even into Russia and stuff, you'd have to go through that region because you couldn't go through Siberia and all this other stuff. That was the only really good route. So the people that lived there a long time ago were sort of infamous for assuming the identities of the traders that would go through there from whatever country. And they'd masquerade as them and then rob the other, you know, caravans, merchant caravans would go through. And so these people got a very nasty reputation of assuming identities and then, you know, robbing those people and taking all of their stuff. And so that's sort of what a lot of people think has happened. Like, where did these Khazarians go? Why are people so angry at this particular group of people? You know, so did they assimilate into another caste of people, another, you know, ethnicity and take a religion? Yeah, probably. And now we have this big complicated mess. And if you start saying stuff about it, maybe you're going to call, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, no, it's just, you know, history. That's all.
Yeah, it's super interesting about the canal.
Yeah, they want that money. I mean, it's billions. I don't know how much money they're going to the Suez gets a year, but it's a lot. Billions of dollars. It's in the billions.
Just for sitting there, it's not bad. Mm-hmm.
Toll. Just paying the toll. So when you go around.
The problem with that is that they say the Egyptian population is about 80 million, and they're a poor country with an infrastructure that can only basically sustain half that amount, 40 million. And there's like no way they could take a couple million Palestinians without collapse. But if you cut another tunnel, canal, which is probably there, the mud flood probably covered it up. We're finding out now that all these Suez canals and all the canals, even in the United States, you know, the C&O canal, they were already there. They just dug them out. That's all they did. But if you were to do that, you would call.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. The world was littered with canals. Go ahead, back to you.
Oh yeah. Well, take a look at that really long one in China. 3,200 mile. Think of that. 3,200 mile canal.
Yeah, a lot of these in the old maps. It looks on some of these old maps that the canal was the primary route of travel. You know,
yeah,
because the land was pretty wild.
Yeah, but anyways, if you were to take away that much money, that much revenue from Egypt, that would be a war. So that's a non-starter. Besides that, I'm thinking they're getting ready to have this big war from all signs right around the end of the year. It looks like it's going to be during December, sometime during December. That's when all the ships, like the Eisenhower. Now the Eisenhower has got to go around, I think, the Horn of Africa, and it's been assigned to the Southern Command, which is the Persian Gulf. So, and we'll be able to strike within range of Iran. So, the amount of naval forces and infrastructure, I mean, and assets, it's just like over the top. Now you've got another piece of information. Canceling the annual Marines anniversary ball. That's like never happened. That's like it didn't happen during Desert Storm or, you know, when they were in Afghanistan. So
Marines are some of the first to go into places, though, yeah?
That's right. That's right. Now, the Marines are the assault. They're not like your average military guy. Like you got assault troops and then you got military guys. Like what the Marines do when they drop down, normal military guy, he gets in a trench and he's only thinking one thing. How do I stay alive? What do I need to do not to get my head blown off or to get blown up? What do I need to do to make sure I don't get killed? A Marine is a manhunter. You drop them down. What they're thinking is, you know, how can I get that son of a bitch? I'm going to kill him. I think I can slit his throat tonight if I can slip up on him. I mean, in other words, you're releasing people that want to kill. That's what they're coming for. That's what Marines are used for. They're like the Wagner group. They assault. They meet you on the battlefield. No. They're not running. They're not just trying to stay alive. They're trying to get you and kill you and get a better position so they can kill more of you. And then
I put the letter in here. It's the Marine Corps 248th Ball. And it was, you know, the announcement was made by C.A. Mac Phillips, Major General, U.S. Marine Corps Commander, U.S. Marine Corps Forces Central Command.
248 year?
Yeah.
That would make them technically older than the nation.
They are, I think, aren't they?
I mean, they have, maybe it's bi-yearly.
No.
Weren't they sort of formed? I mean,
every 6 months.
Yeah, 248th ball.
Well, the one, Mr. Rowe, look up how old the United States is. I think the United States is only 240 years or 42 years or something. I think the Marine is actually the oldest American institution that we actually have.
Yeah, it says technically America's 245 years old.
Yeah, the United States is 247 years old, but the United States Marine Corps was founded November 10th, 1775, making it 248 years old. The Marine Corps was established by the Second Continental Congress during the American Revolutionary War. Hang on. It's like chaos is calling me out of here. Okay. So, yeah, I think we've got Pony on the line. It's just a little tiny bit older. It says it was established by the Second Continental Congress during the Revolutionary War to provide a naval infantry force. So the United States Marine Corps is actually older than the U.S. itself by almost a year. There you go.
Domestic.
Wow, who could have thunk that?
So that was the trade wars. The shipping wars.
Yeah, you needed a military to become a country, right? You needed a force. So, like, let's say you and I were going to create our own country. We need to fight. So we got to create an army or a Marine Corps first, right? And then after we establish our territory and say F you to whoever we're fighting against, then we establish our country.
Well, you know, one of their main things, and it's in the song, to the gate, to the shores of Tripoli, which is, I think, Libya or something.
Yes.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
Wasn't it the Barbary Wars where the Muslims were going up and taking slaves all the way up into Europe?
Yeah, and getting the white women. They wanted the white women. That's what they were about.
They sent
Ben Franklin and I think Thomas Jefferson over to talk to the Muslims, the leaders, and saying, look, you got to stop, like, making all these raids and stealing our stuff and then making slaves and stealing our women. You know, what's it going to take? Let's try to work it out. And they came back and they told George Washington, no, you don't understand. It's like their culture. It's their way of life. There's nothing that we can do that's going to actually stop them from, you know, making slaves and stealing stuff. It's ingrained in how they would live. And then
speaking of George, I wanted to jump in and just say something and I'll get out, but it's okay. Speaking of George, say George Bush, he threw the baseball out just prior to 9/11 for the World Series. And he's done it again. And he threw it out first. Now, I didn't come up with this. I heard a guy say it, but I've researched it. I've gone, okay, let me check the data. All right. So George Bush threw the first baseball out back before 9/11, and he's just done it again for this World Series, which is the 119th series.
Yes, because he used to be owner of the Texas Rangers before he was governor.
Yeah, yeah, but it's the 119th. It's 9/11 backwards.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know what they can do, yeah. Man, but it's there. There. That's all I wanted to say, boys. Great show. Great
show. Did he get booed? Did anybody see it?
No, he got cheered, man. He got cheered because we all love Bush now because we've had since.
Speak for yourself, Pony.
Sorry.
They probably had applause coming through the speakers. And so people think other people are applauding and they applaud.
Yeah.
If you look at the photo, he's got a big T on his T-shirt for the Texas Rangers, but it's a big T. It's a red T, and that's Trump, mate. So...
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, there could be... Well, the Illuminati, Pony's onto this. Pony's got an angle with this. He's been right a couple of times, more than once, on this symbology.
Jack, you've been right too, bro. But yeah, it's all good, man. I'm being nice. I'm being nice. You know, I love you guys, man. We're all in the same group together. If we meet on the street, we got to struggle. We got to fight for each other. Can't fight against each other. We've got to fight for each other.
Oh, shoot. So. If we were to actually meet on the street, man, we'd probably be forming, we'd be forming crews up saying, you know what? oh, boy.
Nah, Jacka, man, I want to have a beer with you on Mount St. Helens, mate.
Anyway.
We've been joined by Stardust Man also.
Yeah, I've got a call.
Yes.
Yeah, Pony, long time no talk. I want to address Jacker's earlier thing that wanted to move the Palestinians to Ukraine. And I want to make sure I'm clear on, now, Jacker, did you say Eastern Ukraine or Western Ukraine?
Oh, it would have to be on Russian lands, which would be Eastern Ukraine.
Okay, here's my problem. Here's my problem with that. Is Russians are, they're like really, really Christian, and the Palestinians are Muslim. So
we made that addendum. Russia's got to give it a vote first. We kind of figured that out.
I mean, there ain't okay. First of all, the Palestinians.
Maybe Dagestan.
There is no way in hell they would go with that idea, because they would rather die than to give up their homeland.
Or Chechnya. Okay.
All right. I just say, just give them a vote. That's all. Just give them a chance. I'm going to tell you right now.
A vote takes money, and it's a waste of money.
Well, maybe somebody's going to do a poll to find out.
I don't think the Dagestanis or the Chechens would have the Palestinians come. I don't think anybody would want to have anybody else come, you know, into their living room. I just and they're right. The Palestinians.
No, who's basically being kicked out of another country.
They don't want to leave.
This
is our land.
Right, but this particular state within the Ukraine is very sparse as far as population, few cities. It's mainly just farmland. So basically, what Russia would be picking up is 10 million slaves that could actually work the Ukrainian land, where most of the farmers. Have either gotten killed in the war or have run off. So, I mean, Ukraine has been depopulated by over 20 million people in the last few years.
You want Putin, you want these people to vote to leave their homeland and go and be slaves for Putin?
Well, I mean workers. They would like workers.
Sell it,
they would
pack.
Slaves was the word you use.
Well, I'm using it because I'm looking through the eyes of a king. The king looks at it that way.
You really hate the Palestinian people, don't you?
Wow, you just want to pick a fight, Pac. That's all you want to do.
Yeah, I do.
I know. I know.
As you say, you know, you have to do it on air and not in the green room. Because, you know, you need the audience.
No, no, you need it. You need the attention. Let's get
that's it. What
you're the female.
That's in the green room. I speak when I wanted to continue this disagreement.
Stop, please. Please stop, man.
The word was slave.
That's right, because I'm looking through the eyes of the great and mighty warrior king of Mother Russia. I'm offering him 10 million slaves. That's what he would get out of it. And he'd get 1 million warriors if he wanted it.
Oh my God.
I mean, Palestinians, but at this point, they could fight. If he were to make the deal, the Russians don't need to fight anymore. The Palestinians would overwhelm the Ukrainians in, 90 days? It would be over?
I doubt if Putin has any interest in having slaves. I mean, take a look at their record right now on the way they treat their prisoners compared to the way Ukraine has treated their prisoners. Big difference.
What do you mean?
Yeah, but what do you mean?
You mean like Russia's being too adhering to the Geneva Convention and Ukraine's not, or what do you mean?
Take a look.
When I say Ukraine, I mean U.S.
Even if you wanted to locate them in the eastern Ukraine, they're Nazis. The Nazis are the one that wanted to eliminate them off the part of the world. The Palestinians would probably do better in eastern Ukraine than western Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. There's a providence that's very sparse. It's fairly large. It's all agriculture. It's right up against the Napa River. And, I mean, you would pick up, literally, the king of Russia would pick up 10 million slaves and 1 million warriors. And he's got the Chechens. He's got Muslim. He's got different places. Russia's multicultural. Russians are used to that. It's not like putting like a fish out of water. They're used to it. There's a lot of places in Russia that are Muslim. In fact, I think there's 40 million Muslims in Russia. So out of 100,
you're mainly talking like in the very eastern southern part of Russia, where they just have those
it's in the dead middle. I can give you the name of it. You can look it up yourself. Okay, looks like we got a break. What are we going to do? I guess we'll be right back.
Natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
We're in a narco-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, welcome back, folks. Welcome back to third hour of the High Council. I'm the Hijacker. We got 2, 4, 6, 8. Still got 10 people here. And what we're trying to game out is some kind of solution for the Middle East. And we know the Jews ain't leaving. They got the nuclear weapons. Their leadership are psychopaths. So we're figuring out some place to, for the Palestinians to have their own kingdom, New Palestine. And I put on the table, look, there's a piece of in the Ukraine, which is pretty sparse. It's called VOLTAVAV, something like that. It's mainly agriculture, and it would be a new homeland. It would be incorporated into, it would be like a new federal republic into Russia. Russia couldn't make it a separate nation. Because turns out that would cause Russia to break apart because there's lots of ethnic groups like that in Kazakhstan, Chechnya, all over the place. So it would break apart. So he couldn't do it for them, but he could make them part of the federation. All I'm simply saying is, you know, make a vote, give the Palestinians a worldwide vote. So no matter where you're at in the world, people come up with 2-3 different plans on what to do with these people and what they want, and then let them have a vote, the very least.
And I consider it groundbreaking that you're even coming up with ideas, Jacka. I'm thinking about like the analogy of two neighbors who fight with each other, and when you move one away, generally that hate kind of dissipates, doesn't it? So generally, I think the idea is not too bad, but whether it's any side of it or not.
Yeah, the new terrorism of Hamas would be this. Think about it. In 10 years, the Palestinian kids, they'd be healthy, fat, and happy. They'd be making snowmen because they get real snow in the Ukraine. They do have a season. So they would be making snowmen. And then Hamas would take a picture of happy Palestinian children in the snow, and then they would wait for the summer right there in the heat in Israel, and they do a mass mail out of postcards of happy children, Palestinian children in the snow in the Ukraine, and send it back to the Israelis.
And the or Israelis they would be so happy they would just put the picture on the mantelpiece.
That would make them fume. The Jews would just be so furious, and then to realize that used to be our homeland. We took their country, and look, they're living in their ours. Yeah,
the
reverse would be the same way.
There's a connection between the Russians and between Russia and Israel. There's always been that thing, and there's a lot of, you know, the whole Russian Jewry thing as well.
40% of Israelis, 40% of Israeli Jews are Russian Jews, believe it or not.
Did you know there's a place in Russia, wait a minute, Jacker.
Jacker, you're forgetting something. Take a look at what the Jews did to the Russians way, way back in time.
Oh, yeah.
They killed millions of Russians.
No, the Russians would never
put up. Do you think they have a grudge on that?
Were you aware that there is an area in Russia called the Jewish Autonomous Oblast? And it's way over in eastern Russia, but it's an autonomous or semi-autonomous region that was originally going to be like the second Israel. It was going to be the other homeland for the Jews, but for whatever
reason.
It's just
north of China. North of China. It's really remote.
But didn't you just say earlier, because I was listening to you, that you brought up some guy, some prophet guy, 2 billion people are going to die, right? Did you not say
right, this
that?
Guy was, he does the things on, like on cycles and everything else, and he does all these calculations. Right, he was all on Greg Hunter. You can find the guy on Greg Hunter. Yeah. This was about to happen.
Some stuff I've looked up. Nostradamus, 2/3 of the world will be taken out by a plague, right? And I think now's the time. So the religion thing, it's going to go away. Everyone's going to get killed off who believes in shit. They want a new species. They want a new human. I know that's a bit rough to say.
Yeah, but Pony, I think the creator's got something to say about that. It ain't that easy.
No, it is, bro. The asteroid, the solar flare, it is pretty easy. What? Look, we're all in the same boat, man, and we're trying to sink each other's same ship, and we shouldn't both.
Well,
I'm guilty.
What I'm trying to do with this Palestinian thing is to stop it, because if all of a sudden the offer was made and the Palestinians would say, you know what, we'll do the buyout, we'll do this thing, then we're talking about stopping World War III in its tracks.
That's the kicker, mate. There is no Palestinians, mate. It's Israeli media Jews, mate. We're believing in the Palestinians, or Kurdish, or whatever you want to call them.
There's about 10 million Palestinians worldwide. There's two and a half in Gaza. There's 3.1 in West Bank, so that's five.
Yeah, but do you know about the Kurdish?
There's 2 million.
Kurdish are actual people from that
area. There's about 40 million of those stretched out from Turkey, Iraq, Syria, and Iran. And that's actually the largest ethnic group in the world that does not have their own land, their own nation. So, but that's separate.
Turkey seems to want a bit of this latest stuff, don't they? Come out and said
you're still dealing with the Crusades, the Ottoman Empire against the Christians, point blank, period. Ottoman Empire against the Christians. You're still in the Crusades. Wake up, Dorothy.
Yep.
No, sorry, would they call the Christians with the Catholics and Catholics? They call themselves Christians. What Christians do you speak about?
If you're in Istanbul, you say, Salam alaikum, kardash.
The Palestinians are Christians.
when King Edward would meet the Sultan, he would say, "Assalamu alaikum."
That's right.
And
I like
the Sultan
salam.
Would
the
say.
The problem with the.
I'm just saying it's.
Yeah,
peace
no,
be
see,
with you.
Men and women, we're all the same, mate. We're all horny, and fortunately, the Crusaders who went over to Constantinople ended up raping and pillaging everybody anyway. So,
hey, you know what? I think is if this whole conflict in Israel did end up breaking out into a third world war, I think Turkey would separate themselves from the UN and would fight for a Palestinian side. Or
you mean NATO?
That would be a good thing.
I'm not sure if they would do that, but they definitely don't seem to be. They came out in their courts or their parliament and kind of said, you know, the West seems to owe Israel a lot, but we owe you nothing.
I do think that Turkey
well,
is a
ever
good
since
candidate
that,
leaving NATO.
Yeah. Ever since that Lebanon bomb, that bomb that went off in Lebanon, remember that? That shockwave?
Yeah, it was huge.
They've been in total disarray, but they survive. They survive. We're all humans. We survive. We get by. We do our thing. They got no water. I was just watching the thing before. They got nothing, man. But they survive. And they're not turning on each other yet, but they survive. So we can,
you know, as far as I see it, the way the United States has interfered and all these different governments over the years and years and years,
yeah.
From what I see it, the United States has a lot of bad freaking karma coming back their way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah, well, you got the Wesley Clark 7. Don't forget you got the Wesley Clark 7, which was Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Somalia, Ethiopia, and was it Egypt or Libya?
Wow, you've
that,
got
that
them
was
all
it? Yeah.
In. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nah, also well, the ones they never did, never right. quite got. The
got
ones they never quite got to.
They got North Korea for a patsy. If something, if a nuke goes off in New York City, they're going, oh, North Korea, just like 9/11, man. 9/11 is all of our. Oh, I think it's all of our, but I could be wrong. But it's our wake up call. You know.
Oh, look, this is an intelligence test. This is clearly an intelligence test.
They still run the media, still own it. So it's 50, it's a 51% attack against humanity.
Well, it is.
What do you guys think about recently that news coming out that a rabbi owned part of Pornhub? You know, and so you would think that then one owns some. You know, there must be others that own it, kind of thing. A pattern like that. Well, do you think it's just because it's a lucrative venture? Or
it was a strategic business. It was a strategic investment. You know, there's a lot of money in porn. I mean, but my financial advisor said, he didn't say porn. He just said entertainment. How was I supposed to know?
Is that Mr. Rode? Is that Mr. Rode? No.
That's startup, I think.
Man, pretty good.
Mr. Rode.
That's my wife's car.
Mr. Rode.
That was Ezra.
He's
done
really good at it.
Sir, if you little hobbit says.
And he could do stand up with Tell that,
him.
Man. That's hilarious.
Hey, I want to apologize to you, Two Feathers, man, for last night. I think it was last night or the night before.
Much love, brother. Much
just, I respect you, bro. I respect you, man. Just do your best, man.
Oh, I always
right.
do.
That's all I'm saying, mate. Yeah,
always
I know you do, bro.
Yeah. How many Aussies on this call?
Too many.
Too many.
China? Never too many.
You know, that's what I love about Revolution Radio. There's so much brotherly and sisterly love.
You know, we used to have an Aussie night. What's his name? We used to run it.
Shout outs to Monty. Shout outs to Monty. Yeah, hope you're doing well, whatever you're doing.
Monty.
Is Monty just completely dropped out now?
Yeah, he's not well.
What do you mean? Okay, is he sick?
I don't know about that.
I didn't know
about that. Well, no, I don't know if he's not sick or not, but yeah, he just dropped out.
Yeah, he needs
a piece of Jewish rose.
He's struggling mentally.
Well,
he broke up with his woman and he's really struggling.
If you're going to claim you're a comedian and then you get rated and your ratings are low, well, what do you expect?
If anyone would have told me years ago that someone could do a comedian's skit and play the piano with his yin yang and then become president of the country, I would have told them they're crazy.
So, you know, there's other places too that could be approached, like Turkmenistan. You go to them and say, look, we're going to pay you to make a new city and develop you and maybe even make it into a sort of any country who's interested in a brand new city. You're going to get a lot of funding and you're going to get a lot of help. The only caveat is we're going to populate the city with Palestinians. So if you agree to let us build a brand new smart city of the future, like on the coast of the Caspian Sea in Turkmenistan or, you know, wherever, or, you know, Dagestan in Russia or whoever agrees to it, China. Maybe they could bid on it. Yeah, even China, populate one.
Same as Iraq.
We'll send all these people.
Shut up.
Yeah, and whoever wants to move there.
Say it. Stop it. China.
Yeah, that would be a plan.
Mr. Rowe, have you seen the city that they're building? It's called The Line. Have you saw that?
Yeah.
I mean, why couldn't they build something like that, you know, wherever? You know, I mean, you're going to have an influx of immigrants of different kinds, why not?
Somewhere in Africa, you know, where maybe the climate is really nice and lush and tropical so they can have their farms and stuff. And then, you know, they can take advantage of new technology and say, you're going to populate this area, Africa. And then, of course, the African leaders are accustomed to taking bribes because a lot of those countries are corrupt anyway. So you could just go and bribe them and say, we're going to build a new city and pay you like the billions and billions. And they'll be like, okay. I mean, that's another possibility.
Idea number two in the world.
Hey, look, I just called in to say George Bush threw out the book baseball on the 119th World Series. So we're going into events soon, man. There's going to be big events, man. And, like, I don't want to debate, but... We're trying to predict the future individually. Me, hijacker, man.
And why would they have Bush Jr. go out? Sorry, man. Yeah, why would they have Bush Jr. go out and throw that? Of all people, I mean,
because he was the owner. He was the owner of the Rangers back in the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, but.
And wasn't he in charge during 9/11?
And where are the red cattle from? Texas. So he's just fulfilling prophecy without knowing.
Yeah, how now, brown cow?
Yeah. Red cow.
Oh my god. It's a Big Mac.
What other patents you got planned?
Patents or patents?
Patterns.
Yeah, well, that's true. There's
the planet E.T. is the planet, but are we run by aliens? All right, there's a question for all of y'all. Are we run by aliens, or is this human functionality?
If you consider that Christians are waiting for the Antichrist and the Jews are waiting for their Messiah, just something. I don't know what Muslims are waiting for. Apparently, they're also waiting for return.
Mahdi. They're waiting for their Mahdi.
No.
Do you all think
what?
That...
What? Muck Day.
See, people like Klaus Schwab, do you all think that they might be thinking they're reptilians?
I just think they think we're better. They think that they are better than us. That's all. And that we are cattle. And there's a lot of us. A lot of us who have bought that moniker upon us.
I want to say one thing.
They're kind of half right.
I want to say one thing. Dude guy. What's up, dude guy? You bald-headed fucker.
That's all right.
You said cricket McNuggets, and that was gold. That was absolutely cricket gold, McDonald's, man. Yeah. Cricket McNuggets, mate. just laugh me hard out, bro. Oh, yeah, damn. Right. I'm back.
That's good.
Yeah, it's something I'll never eat because I don't go to McDonald's. I'll leave that for you, boys.
I'm not
buying you dinner then.
No, not from there, thanks.
What about Dirty Bird?
Pony, something I like to say real quick is like, I really miss the early days of Revolution Radio when you used to speak words and numbers when you had your own show.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was on ball, man. I know. I'm not picking myself up.
You were right on with a lot of shit.
I was like, dude, bro, brought some talent, mate, you know? I know a lot of people copied me or anyway, whatever. I don't care. It's just, I want you guys just to do your best, man. Be the best person you can. You don't have to. I'm an idiot. I'm a drunk. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a stoner, and I have no right for anything. But when the push comes to shove, you just do what's right at that time. Yeah, that's it. That's it, man. So, I respect your Stardust, man. You've always camped for me. But you're a fan. But I've never asked for money. I've never done... Yeah, whatever, man. It's irrelevant. But what's relevant is what we're talking about. What they're about to do. Iran.
I got it. Western Sahara. You send them to Western Sahara. That's where we sit.
Have you been the last 5 minutes on Google Maps?
Hey, all you need to do...
Send all the Israelis and all the Pakistanis to a little island somewhere or out in the desert and just let them fight it out amongst themselves. And whoever comes out,
Mr. Rose,
take
right.
The land.
Mr. Rose, right. He's trying to think his way out of this World War III. And if we could just find a place...
What Roel said was actually like back in the Bible, you know, send them into the desert, give them that little gold making machine and have it make manna.
The thing is, they could have bought Palestine in the time they've been there. Think about it. They could have just bought it.
Yeah, but that's not their way. These signers are people who steal from other people. They steal identities. That's why, you know, people are crazy when they go into this digital ID, you know, and put their fingerprint or their eye into their phones and stuff. It's like crazy. You know, other people are stealing their identity. That's what these people do. That's what they've done from the beginning. You know, we were warned about these people all the way back from the only female Chinese emperor who warned the people on the Silk Road about these people. These people that steal identity. That's them.
Israel is it's a pine gap. It's a pine gap of the Middle East.
Yeah.
To control that area.
Oh,
not even
boy.
Jews. They're not even
good. Good call. Cool.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I know. Yeah. I've heard Pine Gap in ages.
Man, isn't Pine Gap run by the United States?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a piece of the US located in Australia for the purpose signals and both reception and interception of signals in China and Southeast Asia, keeping an eye on what was going on, and also keeping track of what was in the air.
And it's probably
that
a lot
was was, that was what it was there for.
Yeah.
And to keep themselves.
Oh yeah,
safe.
No, it was SIGINT. SIGINT and control of weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Israel is the Pine Gap of the Middle East. Then all this shit is bullshit, man.
Australia
nuke everybody, mate.
Australia said, "Yeah, I'll take that cushy UN job. You can put your Pine Gap here." That's what Pine Gap was. Whereas, you know, Israel was set up like, okay, we're just going to take that, and everybody around them hates them.
Let me add, Pine Gap was an insurance policy because it was hard to reach. If they did come up with missiles that could reach, it was hard to reach. But
it was harder to reach.
Policy. Yeah.
And it was where you could get clear signals. Yeah. But,
it's through Bible.
Well, why not? You know, it's... Why not fuck with us?
Let me ask you about Pine Gap. Is Pine Gap, is it the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
Basically, the...
Yeah,
pretty much. There's a town called Alice Springs there.
Okay, well, is there any... are there any... how far is it from the ocean?
It's the furthest point from the
okay. It is in what they call the Gaffer, the Great Australian Fuck All.
If you're looking at that on Google Maps and you had the whole world there, it's about two fingers to each edge.
Right. Well, let me ask you:
Was there any
old Tartarian cities or anything close there where it got?
Nothing out there. There's it.
No, it was picked there because it was far enough away from everything, and so for signals you don't get noise. You know, for basically it was doing, you know, like local radio satellites stuff. You know,
militarily, yeah, but spiritually it's close to Uluru and
so
and
they had what do I call them? Satellites or no? The radar. You see a radar. Radar dish that a local Chinese guy has to get his Chink TV. So they had them, but they were covered in a snowball, and they had 13, 14. So basically, they could read the satellites. That was their goal. And
they could read over the horizon radar. They monitored
Yeah, because a golf ball surrounded it, like an image of a golf ball, not an actual golf ball. But, so you couldn't detect what they were detecting.
Hide the actual antennas, because you look at the antennas, you can measure them, and you can work out what they can listen to and what they're tuned to. Yeah, that's all it is. Cool. There's nothing too over the top with that.
So is there an underground base
under them?
But it was signals intelligence. That's what it was.
Oh,
Pine Gap.
Underground base. Yeah, it's probably deeper. Yeah, so,
It was designed to survive a nuke, and part of the command and control. When the old shit hit the fan, Gorbachev launched the nukes or whatever it was before Gorbachev, I can't remember.
So basically what Pine Gap is an intelligence gathering scenario to gather the intelligence from the satellites above.
Yeah. Primarily, yes.
Stuff without in the air. People knowing,
And, well, no, and just for the southern hemisphere, just to cover the southern hemisphere.
The southern eastern hemisphere.
Yeah. I mean, there's also talk there of other stuff going on.
Yeah, because we're in...
They saying something about the what's that tower over there and, you know, that great big, the Eiffel Tower. Supposed to be one big radio tower.
Oh, in France? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you suggest that, you know, back in the days, back in the days when, you know, when it was sort of long wave and medium wave and they were, you know, they were dealing in hundreds of hertz, not hundreds of megahertz. You know, those are really long wavelengths. You know.
Are you bringing that up?
Paris?
Well, do you know about Tesla? Tesla's actually involved in the construction of the Statue of Liberty. Not necessarily building it himself, but he went back there. He was there. I don't know what to say, but he was there. Tesla was involved in the construction of the Statue of Liberty, which is
never heard that
one. The Whore of Babylon. Well, Google it.
Now, would that have been a capacity for lightning discharge management?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think they robbed him of his ideas and that. But yeah, there was information.
Oh, you think?
How many patents did he do? Well, like 700 plus patents he came up with.
I got on the other night and I was telling you about the first actual real nuclear bomb was the year before Trinity, Port Chicago in California. Research that one. Read that one. And see if it makes sense to you. That's all I could say, because otherwise you, you disinfo. You like,
what? Give us the gist.
I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it until I read it.
When it comes to nuclear bombs, I think one of the most scariest situations is when the Russians developed this nuclear bomb, and it was like a hybrid, and they're afraid it would be too powerful, so they scaled it way back and then let it off. It was way more powerful than they even imagined before they scaled it off.
That was a Tsar bomber, and he forgot to carry the one, or actually they mucked up on a decimal point. It was 10 times. And he built it one third of the size that they were doing, because he said he had a gut feeling. It wasn't right. Apparently, they deliberately downsized it. Yeah.
I've always said that in the past. Trust your gut first, you know, for the instant reaction, and then your heart, then your mind.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Badass, man. Good to hear from you, Blake.
Yeah, the Tsar bomb, that was a 50 megaton, I think.
Yeah.
But the one I want to know about is the one that went off on the Tonkin volcano. And that looked like, I mean, that really did look like a 100 megaton type bomb went off. In fact, David Devine, he's a host here at Revolution Radio. And he's got a whole channel built up around them that really what we're going into is global cooling because of that particular volcanic eruption put so much stuff in the atmosphere that actually cooling the earth.
Hey, Jacker?
Russian?
Jacker, I got a question for you. One thing that really, really interests me, and I would like to know your opinion of it, is for many years now, there's been observances of UFOs flying down straight through the throat of an active volcano. Can you explain that?
No, but I've seen it too.
There's often a lot of electricity. like there's a lot of electrical storms that you'll get around around volcanoes as well. And there's I don't know enough about it, but
volcano lightning.
If you look into you look into solar forcing and you look into the relation the relationship between the sun and the electromagnetic waves and charged particles we get. And to the point where they can predict earthquakes, and they can
that is the point I was just about to say is you see the law the same thing is like not like lightning, it's almost like a hue going off.
Plasma.
Sounds like plasma.
That's plasma. What was it? It was some crazy thing. I saw the guy filled a filled a ball with xenon, I think it was, xenon gas, and then put it in a coil and managed to make like a plasma ball, get it to do a plasma ball. And you can do, if you take a tea candle and you light a tea candle and put it in the microwave, if you're lucky and it doesn't melt and you remember to take the, aluminium foil off the tea candle, you can actually get a plasma ball from a candle in a microwave.
You can light up. Okay, I used to be in radar in the Army, and we could take these 4 foot long fluorescent bulbs and hold them in front of the radar, and they'd light up like crazy. And the newer radars, they were so strong that if a small bird flew in front of them, it'd kill the bird, and if snow was in front of it, it'd melt the snow. And
the 10 gig stuff, anything that's around that resonant frequency of water, and that's that comes down to.
But speaking of frequency with water, as what's really interesting to me is the production of electricity in Egypt around the pyramids and stuff were, the water flowing around. And the main thing is you have to have obstacles, like pillars, and the water flowing around them, and that produces electricity.
Static electricity. That's how they do the reanimation of the dead. Yes.
We are just in the beginning of understanding the shit that the people that built the pyramids knew. Over.
So you don't believe we was kings?
Kings?
We are gods.
We are made. Well, according to the Bible, we're made in the image of God.
We create life. When we have sex, we create life. So why aren't we not gods? But so do the animals.
Yeah.
And they all have two eyes and a face and a nose, and they sniff, and we're the same. So we're not different to the animal world. We think we're.
But we have layers of awareness. You know, not just about us, but about others. We can.
Yeah, but so do the animals too.
Yeah, so do animals. They can sense.
What we do have is we have the ability to observe ourselves observing other people observing us. I know that he knows and he knows that I know. We've got that reciprocal stuff that goes on.
We can write poetry.
Once you can learn
how to read, you can respect the poetry.
That ability to be able to read, but apparently we aren't not smart enough to control it and bring it to fruition because we are still fighting amongst each other, killing each other for stupid shit.
And I'm fighting.
That's the thinning of the herd.
And girls tonight.
Thins out the stupid people.
You're not fighting. We're not fighting. Just because we have different opinions on things doesn't mean we're fighting. You know, that's called conversation. That's for it. That's called, you know, having a debate.
It's called healthy conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Printers, yeah, there's no hate.
No, when I said fighting, I meant like what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and Israel and all that.
Yeah,
that's what I meant by fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. More wars to sell bullets.
But it's all programmed hate. You know, these people who are children or babies, they don't grow up, they're not born with hatred. This hatred is put into
change the subject for a second?
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry to bring this up, but I was watching, because I come up with a theory doing when I came back. There was a guy who is a director of movies. He's Andrew something. He made the Truman Show. Was it Peter Weir? Did the Truman Show, Galactica. He did all these movies that are like prophesizing now. Now, there's a movie called In Time. In Time. Have you seen that? Where they've got the numbers on their arm, and that's how much life they've got to live.
They try to get to a different.
They can buy other people's time.
Yeah. You can shake hands and take his time or get time taken from you, right? But what was interesting, and I'll go over this again if I'm allowed back. But what was interesting, none of them had mobile phones because his mum's running for the bus. The bus wouldn't let him on. Her own because she didn't have enough time, and so she had to run to her son, and she didn't make it. That's right at the beginning of the movie, but yeah, the whole movie, none of them have got mobile phones, and I found that quite weird. So I'll do some more research. Not really, but yeah. Any ideas?
What do you mean by if you're allowed
the Kingsman,
back on? Where are you not allowed?
I don't know. I'm full of it, Puck. The Kingsman movie, Samuel Jackson. That's a prediction of the future as well.
Yeah.
Where
the first one or the second one?
Yeah. How come there was two takes of them? They made the first two, then they made them again.
First one's gold, right? Exit. Actually,
maybe the first one was close to the truth, so that they had to do a second one to try and take your
diversity. They needed more diverse. Yeah.
They can't.
Samuel Jackson gave out free internet to everyone, and then the 5G he turned it on, and everyone started killing each other. It's like, is this what's happening now?
That almost reminds me of what's going on today as they turn on the 5G, especially when the Floyd protest started and everybody got crazy.
Yeah, another distraction.
Oh.
But
there is a lot of people concerned about
5G.
I'll tell you, but I'll just pull back from the 5G for a second, but parallel to 5G. We've just been through a solar minimum, and Floyd George, that guy, fucking rapist, convicted drug dealer, fentanyl, overdoser, fentanyl enjoyer. And what was it, Federal Reserve note replica enthusiast. While that shit was going down, we're in a solar minimum, and when you actually get low solar magnetic activity, you see a higher incidence of mental health issues. Not necessarily a causation, but there is a correlation. And given that our brains work electrically, and wherever you get an electrical signal, at 90 degrees, you get a magnetic wave.
Wait.
And if you're getting low magnetic waves, please do.
Yeah.
He's not finished yet.
I want to cut in, man.
Yeah. No, so no, that was no, just no, that, that's kind of That's so just to wrap up, low solar activity, lower electromagnetic waves coming out of the sun, correlation with that with more craziness. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the
okay.
thing is,
let me in.
No.
Okay, you can do anything you want. But I'm thinking you can't correlate a choking victim with solar activity. All right, but no, okay.
Now I'm talking about the craziness. What I'm talking about, sorry, you missed your point. And it's a very good point because I haven't explained myself clearly. We had mass hysteria. We've had mass hysteria leading up through the solar, through the solar minimum. You know, from 2020, 2021.
Good point.
2022, good point. Things just started to pick up. But I remember sitting there and not seeing a sunspot for nearly 8 months. No sunspots for 8 months.
Oh, dude, don't. Yeah, I've tracked. All right, forget that. Let me go back to George Floyd. That occurred, right?
Why is that
all
being...
I want to say, I don't care what happened or why it happened, but when the ambulance guys rocked up to help him, they were dressed like military soldiers. They weren't ambulance guys.
No.
That's all I wanted to say, bro. And so to me, it was a whole thing event.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where I talk about John Wick. You know, you've seen the movie John Wick, how they trade gold coins in the background of society. That's what it was, man. To me, I don't know. I can't prove nothing, man. So, but again, I'm just saying, when George Floyd got choked out, they sent these two weird ambulance guys who were dressed in military clothes. They weren't even freaking ambulance guys. So, but the correlated to a solar flare, I don't know. But then
George, George Floyd did not die from loss of breath.
Asphyxiation.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. But the thing is here just now that they've discovered that something that's going to be happening sooner than they thought it was going to be is the poles are going to flip on the sun within this next year. And when that happens, then the sun starts going into a solar maximum and it's going to heat up.
No.
30. So, okay. So I'll run through the scenario. Two things I'll bring up. So back to our fentanyl enjoyer and Federal Reserve note replica enthusiast. Okay. I'm not saying if you're going to run an op, you know, such as a pandemic, but you know, Chinese bat AIDS or something like that.
About George Floyd or
what we're talking about is the global psyche going crazy between 2019 through to 2020 into 2021, 2022, you know, that whole thing. Why wouldn't you tie that operation up when people are most vulnerable, i.e. solar minimum? Just a thought.
And the craziest thing about all that shit is, right now they're the Democrats are prosecuting the Republicans for talking hate speech. But look back when that shit was happening, you know, during the George Floyd protests and stuff, and there was governors and stuff and senators and all these people. You know, and some of them were saying, go to these restaurants where you see these people and harass them, you know? I mean, they were speaking so much hate speech now, and now they're trying to prosecute Trump for doing just nothing compared to what they were doing themselves, you know?
Because they are true believers in their cause. This is the thing. They are true believers in their cause, and they will do... That doesn't matter. The politics is right. As long as the politics is right you know, or their religion is right, or whatever their belief system is right, then they're on the right path. They believe that they're, and they will, and you're allowed to do anything because it is morally correct according to them.
Right. No, it, it's just like the
that, that is the problem. That is the problem. You cannot re-educate them. They, you know,
it's just like they're in a trans state. And the best way I can describe this is like 35 years ago when my son was young and he would sit in front of the TV watching his favorite TV show. And I would tell him, you know, something and he did not respond. Then I'd yell, you know, still didn't respond. And I would literally have to get in front of, in between, stand in between him and the TV. And then when I did, then he would look to, lean to the left and lean to the right. You know, he was hypnotized by that shit, you know? Yeah. And that's exactly what that shit is, you know?
Mm.
That sounds and like then, my best friend.
Yeah, but the thing is, like if you look at, you talk about your best friend.
Oh, I was just going to say, 9/11 is my best friend. It's like, oh,
let's call it Building 7, can we?
All that stuff.
Yeah, Building 7, no, like, exactly.
Yeah, well,
WTC 7. Guys, I've got a call, bass player. I've a gig to go to. I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
73 is in the morning. Thank you for your courage. Cheers, guys.
Take care. You know, one thing I want to point out right now is like the description I gave about my son, you know, not being able to hear my voice and standing in front of the TV. That's exactly the effect 9/11 had on the majority of the people. And I don't know if it's from the fluoride in the water or the brainwashing from
TV.
They saw on TV, you know.
Damn, that sounds like
TV.
That sounds like CNN.
It's a combination. It's a poisoning food. It's in the air. So it's a programming on the television. They don't call it programming for nothing, right? They're definitely programming you. Tell lies in vision, right?
The movies.
Yeah.
Back, doesn't that sound like CNN? Who doesn't
speak? Go.
Exactly.
You know, two feathers. My very favorite thing that I ever saw on CNN is I think it was Florida. I forget, but there was this hurricane, and they're filming, and that white haired blonde guy, he's standing down in the ditch, you know, up to his waist in water, and they're filming, and the cameras are up on high ground, and then those people come walking by on the high ground showing how fake that shit was, you know? That's my favorite moment about CNN.
Well, you see, that's what they do. They walk out in ankle-deep water, maybe up to the calves or something. They make it look like it's a big-time story because everything is breaking news, right? Isn't that how they do it?
Yeah, now they're suffering for that shit, ain't they?
Yeah, that's what Trump did. Didn't he call them fake news? Sit down.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I always loved about
it's
Trump.
It's all fake news, man.
He brought people's attention to that shit.
It's all fake news. That's the problem.
Yeah, so, it is.
But they're the propaganda machine, you see?
Yeah, and who owns all those... the majority of all those news corporation people out there. Yeah.
But the drug company funds them.
BlackRock.
The money printers.
Who back to the original thing that we were talking about, which was kind of the US being allowed to do propaganda to their people, which is, I think, they call the Smith-Munt law or something. Why is anyone talking about repealing that? It's called something so innocuous. Smith dash MUNDT, I think it is, was the decision.
It could start with a pyramid
in Australia.
And all seeing eye on it.
The misinformation, you know, bill and stuff that they got in Australia. you know, that, you know, they've got Twitter to actually, you know, take most of our stuff down, you know, and Facebook. So, you know, but Facebook had to stop doing it in America because it violated their amendment, their Bill of Rights, you know, for free speech. Yeah, whereas in Australia, they're still doing it. Like, they're Facebook.
Anything Meta, anything Google is still censoring and should be, you know, thought of as dead.
To me, Australia is just another arm of the Illuminati who print the money out of the US dollar system and loan it its interest. So if it's Jews or not, I don't care, but they're doing it. And they're getting away with it, and they have been for years. So we found out now we're the enemy. But
just more aware of it.
But
well,
what can we do? There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to stop it.
I got a question. Beans, we have someone on here from New Zealand. Rule they
no
passed.
No one's from New Zealand, bro. What are you talking about? No one's from New Zealand. We're Aussies, bro.
Is anyone here from New Zealand?
Not today.
Negative.
Okay. I'm.
I've been there a couple of times. That count?
We speak English, but lower class.
I've never been to New Zealand.
New Zealand's beautiful. The people are like brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I know. I've wanted to go. I just haven't for some reason. I don't know why. I just haven't got there.
Okay. Let me correct myself. Everybody's probably going to have to speak out their names because there's one particular person here that sounds like Zinni. I forget his name. Out of New Zealand.
Who?
The guy before who left?
Oh, Vinny Eastwood.
Yeah, Vinny
Eastwood.
Oh, yeah, he's New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah, he's New Zealand.
Apparently, he's not here anymore. But the question I would ask is, you know, something I thought was crazy as hell going through, and I don't know if it's been finalized, and that's what I want to know about, if it's been finalized, because people born after a certain year, that they will never, ever be able to legally smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, that's a law in New Zealand was brought in about 3 months ago.
I thought they were bringing that in here.
I think they'd have a little slightly more resistance.
We are not one of us is speaking for Vinny Eastwood. He's a legend, and he can speak for himself. But no, might call in, man, randomly. But
no, I'm just asking you all. Of that happening. It sounds like the next step after that will be locking people up in concentration camps, you know?
Well, they've
In 1996, they took our guns because of some retard who shot up 30 people with a sniper weapon that he didn't even have. So, yeah, we're screwed, regardless.
Yeah,
frostbite.
We had the Huddle Street shootings. We had the Queen Street shootings in Melbourne.
That was before.
Yeah, they had them first. They had them. They were to try and get rid of the guns, and then they had to do the Port Arthur thing down in Tasmania because
it was
more isolated, so they could fabricate it a bit more.
To me, that sounds like the beginning of the movie 1984.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about because it's based off 1948, the guy who wrote the novel.
Yeah, somebody was actually saying the other day that they went to Google the movie 1984, and it doesn't exist. So I don't know where they were or what country they were in, but someone's saying that they have
what? That was from that
I'm movie. Not telling me now, man.
That it doesn't exist at all. And I thought, God, I'm trying to stop people from looking at this classic movie.
I went online trying to buy that movie, and I could not find. I went to Amazon and everywhere else, Walmart, and all these different places, and I could not find that movie for sale.
What do you mean? 1984? DVD?
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie 1984.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wow. The DVD version? Because DVDs and cassettes are coming back in popular. I sell at the market, and they want the art cover. They don't even care if they listen to the cassettes. I just want the art cover because it's all digital.
Well, actually, there's quite a few artists who are now doing cassettes again. Ren, the hip-hop fella in England, just made it to number one over. And he's independent. He's not with any record company at all. And he's got cassettes for his sequel. So I found that interesting.
Am I too noisy?
What are you doing?
Somebody's washing
dishes. Getting dinner ready?
Sorry, too feathers.
Oh, you're getting a drink?
Hey.
What are you doing? Making vodka.
Yeah, getting a drink. You should know by now.
Two feathers, cleanliness is mixed to godliness, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Some water.
Good
I
stuff.
Mute, to be honest.
But
not in my phone.
I wanted to, run down some respectively and relevance to that thing that Pac brought up earlier about the Belt and Road. That if you take the Gaza Strip in relevance to what they're trying to do in Ukraine, that if you look at like what they're trying to do is annihilate, Russia with the, how they put that sanctions against Russia to not be able to service the westernized countries. So.
You just broke up, Two Feathers.
Chat and Stardust Man, I'll send it to you as well. This young gentleman speaking, and he shows a diagram. And you go look at Netanyahu speaking in the UN, and he even presents it on that same video of the new Israel, the new map. It's a new Israel map, and Pakistan's not even on it. I mean, the Gaza Strip isn't even on it. Palestinian land, whatever. It's not even on the new map that Netanyahu holds up. But the resources of the ongoings of Ukraine and the Gaza Strip that it has, and I think it's been said here, that what they have is, these natural resources that those grounds hold, and they're trying to restructure that pipeline, to run to service the westernized countries, as well as probably trying to take that natural resource from the Gaza Strip. That's why they're trying to run the Palestinians off that land. What we hear that they have natural gas or something that runs underneath of that. Did you all hear anything about that?
Yeah, it's like just right off the coast of Gaza is a very, very rich, fertile for natural gas oil, And, yeah.
Yeah, but that,
that's why it's a whole, it's all BS, man, because we know they've got technology, Area 51 or whatever, that, you know, we can fly without oil. And so all this stuff is just BS, man. Everybody's getting used up, mate. Everybody's getting used up.
Hey, Pony, I have a theory upon that. I think that maybe there's some higher beings out there that they're not allowing us to do that until we become more evolved.
Actually, that's a good statement because, you know, that's a good statement. Not allowing us to do it. But no, we've already known. So humans, we already know. That's why that we've been kept in darkness. But
I should say our government is now allowed until our everyday human beings walking upon this earth. Because, you know, one of the evil things is the governments of the world. The people still have hearts. Yeah. But the government of the people is what is evil.
The sheeple, are the consciousness. And so we're the main thought. If an alien species comes in here, they're going to pick up on the main consciousness on Earth. Look, and they're like, oh, they believe these Muslims attacked 9/11. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the main conscious of everybody in thought.
That's what I'm saying is the people of the world, when they slowly wake up and realize how evil our government, that's when the veil is going to come down and we're going to be able to take care of
it. No, you're right, bro. And we're at that point. We're at that point where the
aliens are very close to that point.
We're at that point now where the aliens are going to go, shit, they're waking up. Or they're going to go, not waking up, but like, oh, we're screwed. We're screwed because our leaders, our Jewish zombie Zionists, whatever.
And they're like, and that's when all those leaders are going to go down to their bunkers and hide out.
They're going to nuke us. And so that our main conscious stream where we all eventually agree we're being screwed over and the aliens...
I don't think that the higher beings will allow them to nuke us.
Okay. They've already allowed to nuke stuff, bro. That's the kicker.
Take a look at all this shit in the past, like that those people that were hired to film that rocket going up, and even while watching it live, they could not see it. But after they replayed the film, they saw this UFO flying around in circles, putting a beam upon the head of that rocket. You know?
Yep. Yeah, I've heard that theory. And sorry, it's not a theory. It was a guy's.
It was fact. It was real shit.
It was his, what he saw. Now, with that and all that UFO stuff, all right, who am I? I'm nobody, man. But I've seen stuff, bro. I've sat in the backyard specifically waiting for UFOs, and I've seen stuff, bro. And so, to me, it's real. And To sum it up, it's Men in Black without the comedy, and there's a military force who's running this planet. Now, call them Jews. It's not the Jews. It's just the Illuminati. I just call them the Illuminati.
Yeah, because I call them government.
The Jew thing.
Yeah, it's the original Nazis, because that's what the Nazis were into.
I wouldn't just splice.
Yeah, it was the German government, not the people
part
of Germany.
Off, part off.
Yeah, not the people. No.
Part off. But, so I've seen some stuff that suggested to me that there's a military base on the whole earth that's shooting UFOs down. People, they want to make contact. They want to make contact, man. No shit.
I don't believe they are. Shoot them down.
And we still the thing.
Alien from another planet. I believe they're just our government who have been using this technology that, you know, was probably around, you know, long, long time ago. And
playing around with it and learning.
Yeah. And they're using it to use it against the people. So because, you know, if we're just this tiny little speck of a planet, right? If there was somebody from another planet who came here, their ship would cover the whole Earth.
Possibly.
It wouldn't be these small things that we see in the sky because, you know, if we're just a speck compared to the other size, then we're only ants to these people. So their spaceships would be humongous.
I think the only reason they do not do that is because there is a higher entity that tells them, no, you cannot. They could if they wanted to, but they're not allowed.
Well,
one person I would really like to give kudos to is this man that worked at a TV station in Canada. And when they went from using the big, 8 millimeter or tape, you know, for a TV station to record stuff, and then they went to digital, then they had all this big amounts of tape and recording equipment. And so what he did is he started recording all these live downloads from NASA. And he recorded some amazing shit, you know, especially where you see the UFO coming in toward Earth's atmosphere, and all of a sudden it stops and then it zips back, and right after it zips back, you see this pulse wave coming up, and that was the technology we had back then, trying to shoot down UFOs back then, you know. And that was what, back in the 90s or 80s, something like that?
I think I know Martin. Martin?
Yeah.
Martin
and the one I love the most is the Tether event.
The Tether,
you know?
Oh, yeah, dude. That is one of the best UFO footages.
It is. It is one of the best. That is why I give kudos to that guy, because he's the one that caught that shit. Live
he recorded, and it was
shortly after that when NASA quit downloading their live feed, you know, because they apparently have to filter out that shit just like the damn pictures of the moon where they had to airbrush shit out, you know.
To me, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm an alcoholic, mate. Don't listen to me. But to me, that was that were UFO, they're like fish in the ocean, but in space. And they were just doing their thing, man. They're just flying around and that. But we detected them, and we got them.
The thing that showed you that was true is some of them would go in front of the tether, and some of them would go behind the tether, you know?
Yeah. I know that. But that's what makes me believe that they were like animals in space.
They were kind of like the whales of space.
Oh yeah. We said this, bro. The whales, they crash. They fly up on the ocean. So UFOs come to Earth to die. No, they. I've told you that before, but that's funny. No, but the STS. Mission, STS-78, maybe, I might have got the number wrong, but no, that was, they're lively creatures, and we lit them up by UV light, and so we could see them, but otherwise you can't see them, because humans only see what, I don't even know, less than 30% of life.
Yeah, and we have to thank that guy from Canada, because if it wasn't for him recording that shit, we would never have known about it. It had been more shit that our government hid Martin from our eyes.
Martin Stubbs. No, you're right, bro. And he came out with that documentary. He did an hour. I've got it on my DVD. Not on my computer. I've actually got it because I bought it years ago.
Well, I've never seen that one.
Oh, what? Oh, dude.
I said I've never seen that one.
I've got it. Oh, hang on. Have you seen? You're talking about the same thing, though. So you should have it. But no, Martin Stubbs, he was a Canadian TV guy. And he used to record the NASA feeds, and he just put them on VHS. He's like, oh, I got to put this on VHS.
It was not a normal VHS. It was like a very wider VHS type tape.
He had 8 hours.
It was high quality for television production.
Is that the doctor?
He was working for a TV company. And so he recorded it all, and then he started seeing these things that the NASA feed was showing, and he recorded them, and they're like, what the hell is this? And the astronauts were going like, oh, that's a bit of ice dust. It's like, no, it's not. It's like a fucking spacecraft, mate. What the hell are you doing? But these spacecraft, they were like animals, man. To me, they were. They were like animals.
Yeah, almost like an amoeba. Yeah, almost like an amoeba in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Or cells floating around liquid.
They were like a circular shape, and then almost like a donut, but they would pulsate.
Yes, and their eyes would shift. If you notice that, I noticed that. No one noticed that, I believe. Their eye would shift. They were like Pac-Man. They look like a Pac-Man, and the whole eye would shift to convert to the. Because what happened was, the space mission sent out a massive, I don't know what they call it, a glow stick. A glow stick to light up space. And the glow stick was what we saw, you know, or the tether. The tether has drifted off. But I think they meant it, because I've got the video of the pilots, the astronauts, you know what NASA stands for, need another 7 astronauts or whatever. So when they went out,
Well, the tether was like a cable, and by the way the sun hit it, it reflected the light back, so you could easily see the tether.
Oh, no, bro, no. I believe the tether was a glow stick by the government to illuminate that area and go, okay, what are we going to see? Boom. Then they saw life.
That could be that and a sun's reflection off was shiny surface could be the same.
Could be. Yeah, I could be wrong too. You know, it's the same, man. It's the same. Cortex back. Cortex, you there?
Yeah, kind of.
Hey, Cortex, I have to apologize to you for getting your voice mixed up with Vinny Eastwood.
No, that's a compliment. Vinny's a legend. I hope he's doing okay. He had a little kid, and kind of he's doing a bit less, and I hope everything's good with him. He's a good guy.
He'd be more of a father, right?
The government went after him hardcore, man. If anyone needs support, it's Vinny, man. Help him out if you can. Because, they took everything from him, man. So,
hey, guys. Anyone got Harry on as their contacts, because he wants to come in and my signal is just not enough to bring him in. Can you bring him into Fairbanks, please?
Yeah.
Do it. I've got him, but I can't bring him in because I called Mr. Rowe, mate.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If he's still here.
Well, I thank Mr. Rowe also because that's how I got in here.
Yeah, I've got some clouds around for days, but they're not doing anything.
We need new people to call in, though. We need new voices. Because we're all the same dickheads. So I'm the same dickhead.
Be yourself.
Hey, you know what busts my brains is I have probably five times more friends in Australia than I do here in the town that I live.
Really? That's sad. But then, you know, I don't have a lot of Australian friends, especially like in my area. So, yeah. Most of my friends are in Victoria.
Well, that's why I said the town that I live in.
Yeah.
I don't have any friends.
You got a boyfriend, Park Woman?
No.
You got a man? No.
No.
Why not?
Now, Pac Woman's
passed away almost 5 years ago, and I haven't replaced him yet. It took me a long time to train him. Okay. Like over 30 years just to try. I just had him to where I was like, you know, finally thought, oh, yeah, he's a keeper. And he went and died on me. So.
And a song that song that reminds me of your husband. Is a long, cool woman in a black dress.
Yeah, I love that dress. That song was one of my favorites when it first came out. Because that was me. Tall, pretty cool, and in my own little corner. Because I was like, you know, I was a loner. I'm still a loner. So. But yeah, one day when I finish doing this fight.
I can hear you, Pony.
I might find another guy. It's not off the table yet.
I'm single. I'm just saying. But I've got to mute.
What do you mean it's not off the table? It's got to be on the table, hasn't it, if you're going to find a guy?
Yeah, but, you know.
On the table, on the couch.
Harry's back. They let him in.
It depends on the age. I'm a lot older than you boys. Is there any boys compared to me?
Well, who knows, Pac, you might even squeeze yourself a toy boy somewhere later down in life. Yeah, squeeze him into a squeeze.
My husband was nearly 10 years younger, so.
Well, there you go. Who?
Yeah, I was a cougar before the word cougar even was invented. Like, you know, they started making movies about cougars. So, but I did have a cougar, Mercury Cougar. Which I only just sold in the last 2 years.
Geez, like you epitomised your journey by the way you travelled.
Yeah, well, I like fast cars and fast men who rode a Harley, so that was cool.
And you
on the back, you know, open road.
That's something I still have to this day. Is I have the rear taillights for. 1968 Cougar.
Yeah. Well, I've sold mine reluctantly, but sure, it's gone to a better home. I just didn't have the money to put into it, and it was just starting to rust away, and I didn't want it to continue.
Get to the most of it before it rusts away.
I'm a used car salesman. You like Hot Wheels or Fast Wheels?
You're only a baby.
Harry.
Hey.
Oh, I'm 43. Harry.
Hey.
Welcome, Harry.
You're 43. Well, you need more than 20 years on that to get close to me.
It doesn't matter. Hey, I'll still eat you out. But, Harry, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Harry.
Hey.
Harry's a sweetheart.
Well, you can't really say that until you meet me, Pat, because you might get a different opinion.
No, I think you're a sweetheart, Harry. I think I've been talking to you long enough to know that you're a sweetheart.
good old lulled you into this false sense of security. I'll come and visit you one day and scare the living pants out of you.
There you are.
Oh, how are you gonna?
More than you would be. Hey, Pony and Harry and Pony Harry and Monty Dean met one night, and it was kind of like an eye opener on who Harry was, right, Pony?
I think he's over exaggerating, but anyway.
Harry did his thing, and I respect that, mate. I just wanted him to talk to me and not to women, but it's all good. Every man's a man. You got a dick?
Yeah, well, that's...
I don't trust you. So, all good. Trust you. In the hood, man. I don't trust myself, bro.
Hey, Harry, you were going somewhere for... To do your trinket selling?
Yeah. I'm still just taking a bit of a break now. I was listening to you guys while I'm packing up and some more. Hopefully, come tomorrow. And then I've got my caravan hooked up to my car. I've just been cleaning that out, put the fridge on now. Went and bought. I found some mangoes from Harvey Bay. I bought some mangoes for $10. So I'll settle for $2 each. I've got 4 or 3 boxes of them.
How long a trip are you going on to for that sale?
Oh, how long? It's only about probably an hour and a half.
Once a week, isn't it?
Okay.
But
is it a better place to do some basking?
Actually, I've got a set on stage on Saturday, so I won't be doing busking. I'll just perform on stage acting like an idiot and telling stupid jokes.
Oh, where at?
at the jokes that no one will get and no one will laugh, then I'll start laughing because I think it's even funnier.
Yeah, but anyway,
I'll be at the scout camp in Landsborough in Queensland. It's the Beltane Fire Gathering.
Yeah.
So,
dude, seriously, your first joke, 9/11 was an inside job, 7/11 yep. was a part-time job. Do that one, mate.
What's that? Say
9/11 was an inside job, 7/11 was a part-time job. Do that. It will kill.
Okay, I'll do that one.
You should be playing at Maiden.
That one.
It's a Freedom concert this weekend.
Is it? Oh, I just found this one. I'm looking for festivals to do my markets at, you know.
They have their markets during the day at the Maidenwell. They have their Maidenwell. Markets, I think. Yeah.
I'll have to remember that for next time. I'll research that one too. I've just missed another one that closed for the application. So I'm just trying to catch up. You know, it's a big stepping up a gear. Starting your own business is a big thing, and for me anyway. And so it's just getting my head around the mechanics of it all and the engine room stuff before I can venture out and go to further afield.
Yeah. Oh, there she is. It's your future wife.
Huh?
So what's everyone doing? What's happened? The whole station is changed now. It's just us Aussies and Stardust.
Yeah, I know. Because the rest of them are getting geared up to go to Israel.
Very late over there, too.
Sorry.
Cortex still here. Fuck yeah. Cortex.
Mr. Ray is still on.
Some good shows, bro. Good shows, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, Pony, I'd like to ask you something. Hey, Pony.
Yeah. I got that.
Pony, I'd like to ask you something. you know, you deal with Hot Wheels, right? What about the, because when I look for Hot Wheels, I would use a blacklight flashlight. And I would look for the ones that had the wheels that would glow.
Yeah, well, okay, I don't know about that. But Hot Wheels 68, 69 were the original Hot Wheels, Hong Kong.
You know, the red line.
And
or the blue line.
Red lines, yes. They had red lines the wheel. So, yeah, they're major money, man. Even a rusty one that's, like, chipped paint and that, still $50, man. So if you got
one I got, I don't know if it's worth anything or not, but I got the Jetsons mobile.
Ah, I've got one from 2017 though, packaged.
Yeah,
George Jetson, his wife Janie. Yeah, I've got that, but.
And probably the only reason I bought this other one is because I worked at Walmart for 15 years. I got the Sam Walton's old Ford red pickup.
Okay. Well,
you have that one?
Hot Wheels put out. If you go to any local supermarkets or whatever, they put out Hot Wheels, but there's also secret Hot Wheels. They're called treasure hunts.
Or right, super right, treasure hunts. Yeah. And yeah, so those are the ones that are worth a lot more money. Version,
just an example, the 2020 version Chevy Super Treasure Hunt, if you bought it off the rack, you'd pay $3.80 in Australia. Maybe $3 if they had a discount day, but that particular car will sell for $200, man. So wow. It's worth looking out for.
You know what I did back in the days when I was working at Walmart, and I had, you know, I worked overnight. I went to work at 10 o'clock at night, got off 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, my local time. And when I would get these boxes of Hot Wheels, and I knew there was these collectors around, right? So instead of taking the box and then taking them out of the box and hanging them on the peg hooks, what I would do is I'd open the box and set it on the top shelf below the peg hooks, because I knew these collectors would come in and pull them out of the box and hang them on the peg hooks for me, you know? So I took advantage of the collectors. Over.
Yeah. Did you find anything good, though? Or you didn't know?
I reckon you didn't know what you had, man.
You had a couple hundred bucks probably worth of stuff.
Well, the main ones I always collected was the ones that had glow in the dark wheels.
The Japanese, anything Japanese is a big seller now. So keep that. Anything Nissan or Toyota, whatever, Japanese, whatever's Japanese made, these people love them, man. So, because Japanese make good, actually quality cars, Mazda, Toyota, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, just hang on to that.
The main ones I would grab would be ones that I've actually owned, like the old Datsun 510 cars, you know?
Yeah, that's money. That's money.
Yeah, you know, the thing that...
Chevy, too. Chevy 67 is like, oof, that's money, too. Because people love the Chevy, that Chevy 67 style. So They made a super treasure hunt of that in 2020, and it was $3.80 on the packet. Some mum bought it for a daughter, whatever, but
dude, it's $250, man, on eBay. So $200 from $3, man. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, that's a good all right,
guys.
Yeah, the supermarkets are giving away. Yeah, the supermarkets are giving away the Hot Wheels now. If you spend, you know, so much on your groceries, they'll give you a Hot Wheels car.
$2 park woman. It used to be $2. Now they're $3.80.
Yeah, because I actually got some the other day because I like went crooked over because the girl before never offered me one, and I thought that's a bit rude. Like I spent my money, I should be entitled to at least be given the option. So, but the other day I got, what I got, a 74 Corvette Stingray. I got the King Cuda and a 33 Ford Lowboy. That are pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah, they're ones that the tattoo, like the spray painting on them, like the tattoos on them. Like,
when they did the treasure hunts back in the day, they were spectral paint that had a bit of candy. The paint was candy. And so if you got them, hold them. And recently they're doing treasure hunts that you got to find the TH symbol. And the symbol is a flame in a circle.
Oh, so, okay. Well, if I go looking, because all the kids' toys and stuff. So if I go looking, I'll probably find them, some of the old
Hot Wheels. Buy them when you see them because you're not going to buy them after. Just, all right, guys, I'm trashed.
Nice okay.
Talking to you. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. O. Oh, I'm tapping out, man. I'm screwed, mate. So thanks for having me. I hope I was nice.
Pony, you're cool.
Do your best, all right, guys.
See you, Pony. Sweet right, dreams.
Be safe, man. Yeah.
Right on. Be safe, Pony.
Good night, darling.
Take care. Yeah,
right. Good dreams, bye. Pony, man.
Oh, Stardust, man, you're a ledge, mate. Take care, mate. See you, boys and girls.
Good night. Stay safe.
There goes the poles, man.
Yeah. Do we just want to take it up to the top of the hour and then call it quits or what?
I'll keep going if anyone else wants to.
Yeah, because we've got about 20 minutes, I think, till the top of the hour.
Yeah, sounds good. So what's
the new next,
on our agenda? Y'all seeing anything? There's ceasefiring over there, or everything's beautiful, and they're going to turn the world around, or what?
Anything is possible. If you put out the positive vibes, you know, anything can happen. So we're just going to stay on the positive and you know.
But that's what we do.
Yeah, put out the prayers and, you know, prayers are powerful things if you use them correctly.
True.
But the thing, but go ahead.
No, I said true.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, I think that's what we do, but the thing is, in the same token, that, you know, we have to call out these players, you know, that so much in our midst, because I think that that those two videos, I know I think I shared one on with you, in fact, but I didn't know if I, but I put the other one, that synagogues are safe.
I did see that.
Yeah. Did you see that other one, The Truth About Israel and Gaza or whatever?
Yeah.
When you put those two together.
Yeah.
You know, that guy that was on The Truth About Israel, you know, that guy that was interviewing, that was ahead of, you know, fooling with the money. You know, they tried to get him to sacrifice little babies. And they told him he'd be wealthy beyond his means. And he couldn't even speak. That it got so serious that he didn't know he was caught up in that kind of racket. But when he said he was done. He was done when it came time. Who was at the Rothschilds? They were having an underground party or the Rockefellers.
Yeah. But that's what a lot of them don't understand. Like, you know, they climb up the ladder for their career or the organization that they're in, the company they're in, climb that ladder. You know, but once you get to a certain rung on that ladder, you know, you've got to then, you know, play ball. Or you get pushed back down. And sadly, there's a lot of people who will play ball even though it's against their conscience, it's against their principles. You know, people just throw their principles and their morals and everything out the door because they think they're going to better themselves in this organization.
Right. But that's what it was with him. He couldn't do it. He couldn't. When it came, you know, money was no object. Yeah. When it came to talking about eating little kids and all that, he said he was out. He said that was enough. That was his awakening. And you see, that's the going on. I think that people, when they go watch the truth, they watch the synagogues of Satan, that when they see that, and they see that scripturally, that land of Israel, because why I'm saying what I'm saying is, if you go look at all of our heritages, you know, that if like that guy was saying that if you go back into all of our heritage, that what happens is you don't realize that there could have been a cross. Relationships that could have occurred with different tribes of people, that it goes into the quadrillions of your family tree of the individuals that, you know, when you keep going back, what happens is you wind up with a family tree that's just astronomical.
Yeah.
And that's what it shows. You know, it shows that you have so many individuals that's on your family tree, that we're all connected in some kind of way. That
Well, if we came from Adam and Eve, then, you know, we're all connected, aren't we? So we're all connected because, you know, we came from the Creator. So, you know, we're all connected. We're only one human race.
Right. And in that video... It showed that even he was, his heritage, because when he did the swab test, you know, and found out where a lot of his lineage come from was back in Israel. He found out that he was, an Israelite, like, you know, from Israel.
And Cortex is gone too. Good night, Cortex.
Yeah, good night, Cortex. So, you know, that, and then, you go and look up, he even gives like the scriptures, if anybody cares to look at that video, the synagogues of Satan, and you look at how it's not even about the land. I don't know where these people get off with all of this, wanting to manipulate the land and all that, you know, even over natural resources, you know? Because it's not about the land. It's about, really, it all goes back to love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah. That's what it all goes back to.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that Pony was saying before, you know, what can he do? He's just one person. Like, you know, he can't do anything. But we all can. You know, if we took the time to look at who our representatives are in our state and federally, and if we just, you know, took the time to just ring them and tell them our will, because it's the will of the people, that we don't want the war, that we don't want lockdowns, that we don't want, you know, these bioweapons that's, you know, being used against the Palestinian people, and, you know, this white phosphorus that they're, you know, putting in the skies. And, you know, we have to do that. So if we took the time to do that, you know, that's only maybe an hour out of our time, right? To write an email, you know, and then send it to all of our politicians to ring them up and then tell them, this is what we want from our representative. We are demanding that you do not go to war. This is our will. This is the will of the people. And if more people took the time to just do that, you know, there's a woman in Australia called Karen Brewer. And for the last 6 years, she's been standing at the front of the Governor General's house. And every Saturday, she has a little band of people at the house of every governor, state governor general and the federal governor general.
For 1 year?
Because the governor general in Australia is the only one who can dissolve the government and to stop this from happening. So
she's been doing this for a year?
Yeah, she's been doing that, I think, for 6 years. She's been fighting about the corruption in government.
But, I mean, so, how long? For a year, she's been standing out in front of the governor's
place? She goes every Saturday. There's a group in Western Australia that every day, every day they're in front of their governor house, and they're, you know, doing a quiet protest.
But she herself only goes there once a week on Saturday.
Yeah, it's for people. It was for every Saturday. Some people go each day. There's also a group still in Canberra since they had the big protest 2 years ago. You know, they're still staying there. So, but the trouble is, you know, all these so-called freedom fighters that have had all of the millions of people that have gone to their rallies, you know, they've done nothing. They've all disbanded. Like, they're all shills, right? They're just to distract the people from what the only thing in Australia that will work, and that is having a million people at the Governor General's house.
Yeah, they have short attention span.
Yeah. 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 You know, be quiet, puppy dogs. Yeah, so people need to realise, you know, just what little it takes. And she's actually put up the addresses and even got a letter that anyone's just got to copy it, you know, if they're too lazy to write their own. But I wrote one to the Governor General last week and I haven't heard back because, you know, you go on their site, right, and there's not even an email address for the Governor General. You just have to go on their site and do an inward email. So you don't know what the
That must be one evil, corrupted governor.
Yes. Yeah, our whole system is a corporate government.
It's rotten.
And it's corrupted. Yeah, rotten to the core. Has been since 1973 when they took us from a Commonwealth government of Australia to the Australian government.
Yeah, to a monarchy-based constitution to to a corporation.
Yes. Yeah, we're a corporation with ABN numbers and, you know, tax and all that sort of tax numbers, tax file numbers and all of that sort of stuff. You know, we're corrupted to the core. And, you know, it doesn't take long for people to just write an email or to ring up their local representative and, you know, the representative in their state. You know, we can do something. If they know that a million people rang them or sent them emails, you know, they know that they're not going to stay in their job for much longer. And the trouble is nobody writes to them. Nobody rings them anymore. Like, you know, people used to do that. If there was something wrong on the television, you know, if somebody thought something was offensive on television, You know, they would only need like two or three phone calls and that show would be taken down. So the power of the voice is strong. So we need to get back to what, instead of being lazy, you know, all these keyboard warriors, they don't do anything to actually, you know, bring on change.
Especially the people that are retired, you know what I mean? It could be like, you know, a lot of them that should be on the phone with their, you know, I mean, I know they live in their best life being retired. A lot of them, they don't, you know, they ought to be doing the work that they should have been doing from the beginning. In other words, you know, in the wake of, say, like, you know, for my generation, so, you know, I would have been set up to take over when I retired, that I would continue to, you know, because I'm so bombarded with, you know, between work and having to do at home, you know, things that I'm so tied up that I'm lucky I can wash my hair, you know? So the thing is, people that are retired right now could be on the phone, you know, or on the email, like you're saying, and maybe try to reach out to these different politicians and saying, like I heard someone on RBN the other day, right? And the gentleman was saying something about voting to call your local politician or something in to vote against some kind of to vote against a foreign bill or something that you tell them that we don't want a foreign bill or something he was saying. And I didn't catch his name or whom he was, but he was a host on RBN.
Two feathers. I think a lot of those people out there that are retired, and the reason they don't speak out, you know, they may be really, really pissed and they don't speak out, is because they cannot afford the backlash, you know, shit coming back onto them and making their life go through hell. Because that's what the government does. You know, because when you complain, that's what the government does, is they'll start nitpicking on you and making your life hell.
Yeah, but if lots of people did it, right, who are they going to pick on? All the people? Yeah, no. Really. If you rang up your, you know, if 50% of the people in your area rang up your local representative, you know, that representative would take notice. Hey, 50% of my constituents don't want us to go to war. That's a lot of people, right? So
I don't think, especially in the area that I live, that that would not happen. And it came until it came to the part, until the time when people were actually almost starving to death. Then they would rise. But there are long ways.
That'll be too late because the war would already have been started.
True. But that's the way it'll happen.
But that's why, you know, we need to keep encouraging people to do it, to stand up now, right? Because soon it's going to be too late, way too late. Right, you can't stop a war. You can't, you know, shut a fence once the horse is already bolted. Right.
The reason people don't do it,
can't stop it.
The reason people don't do it is because they see the people that do it, and they get locked up, and they don't want to be locked up, so that's why they don't do it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but that shouldn't stop you.
Right? It's totally bullshit. I know. It's a crazy situation, but that's the way the world is.
Well, that's because they're
either going to get locked up or they're going to be killed in this war. So, you know, that's your choices.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, that's when the people will start bringing out their rifles and their guns and will defend themselves. Yeah, but until chaos comes along, until chaos comes along, they will not go. They will not do it.
Well, that's what I mean. How far down the nitty-gritty?
It will take chaos before they stand up to fight. And yes, yeah, you're right. It'll probably be too late by then.
It'll be too late. You know, your family could be murdered before you even, you know, go and pick up a gun.
You know, what you speak of would be the perfect world, you know, but we don't live in a perfect world.
I think that's why you, like I said one time, you know, that's why they had, like in my area where I lived at in New Orleans, they, you know, they had the Battle of New Orleans. That you had Andrew Jackson, that someone like Andrew Jackson that led a coalition of, you know, of an army that, you know, he came against the Brits.
Yeah, good know? Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a shit hit the fan scenario. But until the shit hits the fan scenario happens, and nowadays, it just ain't going to happen.
Because before it happened,
they actually had already been, you know, talking in their houses and gathering, you know, people and getting them ready. So the trouble is we're not getting people ready.
I'm sure there's many people in this area that are talking about shit and planning into the future, but it'll be one of those scenarios. Like I said, you can shit in one hand and wish in the other, but ain't shit gonna happen until the shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm. What they've done, they let these politicians run amok, and not enough people, you know, have been, you know, disagreeable to, you know, they sit down in front of CNN and just suck up. Like they plug into it like a vampire, like a, you know, like a IV. You know, if you think about IV when you go to the hospital, they plug you up.
Well, the thing is, too, Feathers, we're talking about two different type of people. We have the type of people that are waking up, knows what's going to happen, and knows if they do speak up what's going to happen. And then you got these other crazy 5G mind penetrated people that are totally brain dead, and they're the ones, unfortunately, that's running the government now.
Yeah. But the trouble is, like, just with the 5G, you know, people are so concerned about the 5G, but they have a microwave in their house. You know, they have their phone beside them when they go to sleep. You know, they have a telephone.
I have a microwave in my house.
You know, and then when they get cancer, they go and have chemo or they go and have x-rays and stuff. Like, you know, all this radiation, you know, is what's causing a lot of cancers. So, you know, I have not used that
microwave in 15 years, and I've put out posts that the best thing you can do, if you got a microwave oven, hang on to it. Don't throw it away, because it can be a very good thing. Because the first thing you need to do is get out the magnetron and transformer. In fact, you can use the transformer to do the stuff that Nighthawk used to do when he used to do that, you know, the patterns in the wood that looked like trees, you know. You could use those parts for that. But the best thing to do with a microwave oven is take all the electronic components out, the electrical cord out, and then use it for an EMP-proof device to protect your flash drives in case you have an EMP.
Okay.
The electrical cord?
No, you cut the electrical cord off and you take out all the guts.
And you put your all your electronics inside of the microwave frame, you say?
Yeah, inside, yeah, because it's like an EMP proof cage. But it depends on how strong the pulse is. You probably want to take it and put it inside a old galvanized trash can and bury it in the ground or whatever, you know.
Mm.
Because it reminds me of that old movie where it was the end of time and they had a microwave EMP thing. Uh-huh. And there was one guy that protected his computer, and it was the only computer that they could use to spread the truth.
Wow. Kind of almost sound like the Book of Eli.
Well, that's a good point. That was a good movie. I really liked that movie. But it was like, think of the movie The Pulseman. You ever seen that one?
Yeah, with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about
it? Think of that type of scenario of that environment of the Pulseman.